mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
You're the best guest, Mr. Lou. Grinch. I can tell you this. Of all the movies we make you watch, it's about creatures will save you a spot, Mr. Looch. Your head's exploding, Mr. Looch. We're glad that you came back. Next time we'll get you a movie you like with a popcorn and a Sprite, Mr. Looch. There Mr. Luciani stood, amazed at how dumb the opener could actually be. He found himself in this position before, so why, we ask, would he come back for more? Then something happened. They were all amazed. He actually liked being on Cut to the Chase. The duo welcomed their friend they've been missing, dear old Snugglefox, our good friend Christian.
Christian on Cut to the Chase, Christmas right up to our waist. Oh, Christian, welcome back. Grab a hold of Santa's sack.
I literally almost left him when he goes,
You live with that.
Hey, Christian, welcome back to Cut to the Chase.
Holy,
how do I get out of this?
You can't.
I'm dying here. I was trying not to ruin it by laughing. I almost came in my pants.
Can we have him do that just one more time?
Holy smoke.
Like, I could listen to that.
Wow.
He said he had a song, a narration, and then another song. Yeah. Like,
Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas.
So, yeah, we're obviously introducing our guests with, classic Christmas songs. And all I came up with, like, that was amazing. Like, he did that in, like, 15 minutes. All I came up with, like, was, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Looch." And I just gave him that idea to go with the theme of that song, and he turned it into that. So, you are amazing, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
Like, that, no, he's so creative.
Tell me more about me.
Can I sing it the rest of the episode?
Well, he did say you're the best guest.
Yeah. Well, I did feel bad, though. I felt bad last time. You know, it's like, I remember Christian wanted a certain movie, and he didn't get it. But nonetheless, it was about a green creature.
What was the movie that he wanted?
I wanted Returns. I'm always on with green creatures.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
That wasn't the intent when I picked this for you.
No, exactly. I feel bad. And it's like, not only that, it's a movie that he doesn't like again. So we're just killing it, baby.
Yeah, no, I thought that, you know, because he had kids, he might like this one.
I figured if my intro was fire, that would make him want to stay.
Do you want to stay?
I've had a change of heart.
What part did you win?
That helps, but no. When I rewatched it, I have a change of heart. I'm not. We'll get into it. I don't want to, because this is what I do. I blow my load right at the beginning, and then I just got to sit here cracking bad jokes the rest of the show.
We all have that problem, though.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Zach.
Man.
Like, you're always a blast,
for sure.
All right, so for each of our guests, we have come up with kind of like a fun little, you know, Christmas game or questions, or, you know, everybody's getting something a little bit different every time they come on. So we have a segment for you, and this segment is called Name That Missile Ho.
Yes, I love this segment.
Now, I'm going to mention a missile ho from a Christmas movie.
Yes.
And then you have to guess what Christmas movie from her name she's from.
And these were all verified by us that they are indeed hoes.
For different reasons.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Are you ready, Mr. Looch?
I am ready. I am ready.
All right. Ho number one. All right. Sue, a.k.a. Mrs. Claus's sister.
Sue. Mm-hmm.
Classic Christmas comedy.
Dan's probably going to sit over here and give you clues that gives everything away.
I got it.
That's okay. I might need to call a friend right out of the gate.
You get one clue per name.
Sue, Mrs. Claus's sister. What the? Why the heck is this?
Do you want your clue now?
I'll take my clue. I have to take the clue.
Okay.
Fuck me, Santa. Fuck me, Santa.
What do you mean? That just gives it all away. You are the worst clue giver in the world.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Is that bad Santa?
Yes.
Ding, ding. He Tell got him what it. He's won, Danny.
He won another question asked by Lacey Lou.
All right. Are you ready?
The keeps on giving.
Are you ready for Name That Mistletoe question number two?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Okay. Mary the Counter Girl.
Oh.
Oh, Christmas Vacation.
Yes!
Ding, ding!
This man knows his Christmas movie.
That's my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, yes.
Were you hoping that was going to be the one you were going to get?
No, I didn't know where this was going. It could have been... it is her that's on in the swimming pool, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the fantasy girl, yeah.
You know what I missed? We didn't do this on the episode with Nudie when we covered it, but I was going to make Nudie try to sing the song that she's coming up out of the pool. So maybe I'm going to make, since it's Christian's favorite, I'm going to make you try to sing it now.
Oh, my Lord, you put me on the spot. Jimmy Bidip Walker is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. I screwed up the beginning part, but I got into it.
It's like Halle Leaky Maka, it's a white Christmas. There's something like that, Hawaiian Christmas.
I don't know what the hell I said, but I to the next part.
But you got the tone of it right, at least.
More importantly, he got the answer right.
He did. That's all right. So we got 2 out of 2.
Yep.
All right, next one. Liz. Or name that mistletoe number three. Liz Langston.
Liz Langston. Hmm. I'm just going to take a wild guess. I'm not even going to go for a hint. Is it Edward Scissorhands?
The clue is we just fucking talked about this movie about 3 minutes ago.
And here. She's outside petting Ted.
Oh, yeah.
What the? 3 minutes ago? What the hell did we talk about 3 minutes ago?
Right. Oh, Howard, these cookies are delicious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I know this movie.
Under our tree.
I don't know, but I know all this is making, I know the lines. I can't picture the movie.
Answer that question now.
Oh my God! It is not Jingle All the Way.
Yes, it is. See, he's using his answers sparingly and wisely.
He is. He's one of the three. Well, he got a million clues on that one.
The Schwarzenegger impression is what tipped me off. If you did Sinbad, I would have not known.
Nobody would have known if it was Sinbad, because he was only relevant for those couple years that he did the movie.
Can you even do an impression of Sinbad?
Nobody can. I saw Sinbad live. I'm not kidding.
Oh, really? No, really?
I didn't pay for it. It was. A former company I worked for. He was coming down. I'm like, wait a second. I'm in the elevator. I'm in the elevator with Sinbad. I'm like,
what?
That's true story.
Yeah. And this is a true story. And he was actually very nice. He was a cool guy and whatever. And he's just kind of going in. He's kind of talking to himself a little bit. I'm like, he's the goddamn entertainment tonight. And he walked in and it was like our opening for the company I used to work for. It was like our kind of our opening hook, opening show. And he just gets up on stage and starts telling jokes. And
he wasn't talking to himself, Christian. He was saying, is that motherfucker from Exploding Heads? I'm a Patreon.
I submit my $3.
Can I guess on the show? Can I guess on the show? Fuck
yes.
Off, Sinbad. Fuck off.
Exactly my sentiment when we reviewed that movie. Yep.
Turtle Man.
Rodney King! Rodney King! That's the extent of Sinbad's fucking
comedy.
Yeah, comedy. All the way. In 1996, making a Rodney King joke. Dynamite stuff, Sinbad. Really groundbreaking.
Getting trampled on Christmas Eve like it's a Black Friday. So.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get back to Name That Missile Ho.
We got one more?
We have three more.
Oh, shit.
Well,
what else? All right.
A lot of
all right, Christian, name that missile ho. Jovi.
Jovi. Jovi. Hmm. Hint me up, please.
I like you, but you're crazy.
What? That's not even the right movie.
But
that's not even the right movie.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? You gotta do... Santa? Santa's coming?
Once it hits your lips, it tastes so good.
Syrup?
I'll just do other Will Ferrell quotes from other movies.
Okay, no, you're just gonna drop Will Ferrell. Are you
how
fucking
the hell?
Man?
But you know what? I don't know why I wouldn't have gotten Joe V. But I don't know the character's name. Like, other, like so it's Elf, obviously, but... I just suck at characters' names. I'll just tell you
Santa
that right now.
Sucks at like being ambiguous.
I love the hints.
I didn't get that one either, but I'm his phone a friend. I'm Team Canada. Let's go.
You're Team Mr. Looch.
Woo! Free healthcare. Let's do it.
All right. Here's an easy one for you. I was going to start with this one, but this bitch is probably the biggest missile hoe on the list, in my opinion, and we'll get into that later. But Martha May.
Oh.
Martha May. Biggest bitch.
Biggest missile hoe.
Biggest missile ho.
Yes.
Is she from the movie we're talking about tonight?
Yes, she is.
And I will explain that all later.
Wow, he's killing it.
He is.
No help on that one either.
No. Well, I did say we're going to talk about it later, so that was kind of help.
I don't think he's going to get this next one.
No?
No.
But don't say anything yet. No clues. You were about to. I
already know what my clue is.
I know. Because I gave it to you earlier.
You didn't give me shit.
You're a liar and a fraud.
You ain't giving me nothing.
Get a massage.
Yeah. All
right. All right, Christian. Name this last missile hoe. Angela.
Angela?
See, I don't think she's a hoe.
She's definitely a hoe.
What do you mean?
She didn't even know what kind of car her fiance drove.
That's a clue.
He goes, ooh, 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 ooh.
I know, well, that was a good little hint, but now I'm still drawing up Angela. Why is it that you hear Angela, and I obviously think, was it a Christmas sleepaway camp? Imagine they did that. Like, it just came out.
That would be amazing.
Let's put it this way. You're on the right track.
What do you mean?
In terms of Christmas horror.
Yes. Is that your clue?
No.
Okay, well, give me the official clue then, please.
The official fucking clue is boobs.
And it's a Canadian film.
Boobs, Canada, boobs.
Boobs, Canada, boobs.
And then more boobs.
Not my teenage life. I don't...
But
most teenage life, just on paper. Canadian Christmas horror. The one obviously that I think of is Black Christmas, but I don't remember boobs in Black Christmas. So just
Well, you never see these boobs, but you almost don't have to because they're just there.
Are they nipply?
Yes.
Mary the counter girl.
It's not her. I think it's better.
What do you mean, little fucking perv? He's ruined Christmas, Christian.
Christmas is canceled.
Your Christmas.
Oh, no. But I got to get it. I guess I have to.
Are you Googling over there?
No, I can't. What is this?
He's like, I don't even have the internet.
All right, I'll give you one more clue. Okay, since this is the last missile hoe, and you've gotten them all right up until now. Yeah, she is. If you can see her fucking nipples, she's a goddamn hoe.
That's, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Are they pancake nipples? Like, besides the point.
Are they pepperoni nipples?
They're kind of, I don't know.
Or are they like...
They're just nice and wet and just like...
You're a sick fuck.
I gotta stop, Christian. I'm gonna stop here.
You should see the look I'm giving
you. I can't give you any more clues. You're on your own, Christian.
No, I got a clue for him.
I'm gonna be spending the night on the couch tonight, Christian.
Blue Christmas by Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good... You're giving me some damn good hints, but why am I not getting it? It's a Christmas horror.
Canada.
And I was about to jump onto Black Christmas, but then you almost like stopped me dead in my tracks. So
you won't.
Yeah. So then why am I not thinking of Moist Nipples? Like what the hell? I am thinking of Moist Nipples. I just can't picture them.
The majority of the film takes place on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
P2.
Yes! One of my favorite fucking Christmas movies ever.
6 out of 6.
Woo!
A little bit of help, but I'll take
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Did you like that segment?
That was a fantastic segment. I gotta be honest, I've watched that film, I think, 3 times, and I didn't even know it was Canadian. And I always shut up.
Well, because, all right, so I was thinking of, because I'm trying to do different segments for everybody, right? So yeah. I was thinking, name that, or Christmas in Canada movie. So I was looking up Canadian Christmas films, and that's how I found out it was Canadian. And that was, like, the only one I knew.
One of my favorite Christmas movies, though. I love that movie.
It's a good flick, man. I just watched, I already watched Better Watch Out. I started, like, out of the gate. Watched Better Watch Out already. I've watched Rare Exports. So I'm off. I'm already off and running. I mean, that's 2, I know, but it's December.
we're
only on the 3rd day.
I think when you were talking about, giving movies a second chance or whatever, I might do that with Rare Exports because I did not enjoy it.
I've never seen it, so please no spoilers.
The ending is fantastic, that moment, obviously, but...
Well, now you're making me want to watch it.
Yeah, it's epic. We have to watch it.
Because Lacey hasn't seen it, but I showed my kids not knowing what they're going to expect, and when you see the movie, you'll be like, but it's... man, it's on Canadian Shudder, so I'm assuming it's on American Shudder.
It's on Hulu.
Oh,
it's
okay.
On Hulu.
Right on.
So how old are you, kids, Christian?
I've got, the one that didn't watch it with us, she's the oldest. She's 17. I got a 17-year-old.
What do you mean you have a 17-year-old?
I have a 17-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old daughter, and a 9-year-old son.
Oh, wow. And you said, I think you said your son doesn't like horror, right?
No, he loves it. My middle daughter and my youngest love horror. My oldest is a different. She loved the new It movies because she said, okay. I love these. They're character driven. And there's so much to absorb and there's so many characters. So she loved that aspect of it. Ooh. But if I throw on Friday the 13th, she's watched them and she's like, oh, they're okay.
Yeah.
But there's just not enough substance there for her. So I'm like, I can't fault her for it. But I disowned her.
And I just have to say, Christian, that video you made for around Halloween time with your family.
Oh,
that was
fucking
amazing and epic.
That
I love
it. Dude.
Thanks, man. We try to do one every year. I'll toot it for a second because we took like 2 years off. We did it from 2011, from the year my son was born. He was a baby in the first one, and then we did one every year. 2017 was our last, and in 2018 and 2019, we're just too busy. The kids' schedules were crazy. My work schedule was crazy. We couldn't do it, and I just said, fuck, because we left it on a cliffhanger. So I said, we got to do something. And to be honest, we filmed it on Canada Day, July 1st, most of it. All the shit in the theater because the theaters were locked down. Nothing was open. My wife asked if we could come in to help with their Skip the Dishes stuff. So they said, sure.
Skip the Dishes.
We went in and my son and I were just like, we're kind of bored. So I just said, let's just film some stuff and I'll try to make a movie out of it.
No, so sorry. I just got really excited because I know what Skip the Dishes is.
What is it?
I watch Big Brother Canada.
Is that yes? Oh yeah, Kristen, we're big fans of Big Brother Canada. So much better than the American version.
It really
is. It's ridiculous. I can't even watch the American one anymore. It's all about Big Brother Canada.
I didn't even know Skip the Dishes wasn't a thing in the States. I just took it for granted that it was in the States as well. It's like Uber Eats.
Yeah. We use DoorDash more than anything. But right. Yeah, it's funny that they advertise Skip the Dishes all the time on Big Brother Canada.
That's hilarious.
Like, obviously, and they don't do that at all. Like any advertisements like that on the US one,
not
like they
all.
Get like nothing. This
sucks.
Fucking Big Brother Canada has their own Wendy's.
Yeah, they get Wendy's every time they
they win a competition.
That's awesome. I just want to live in the Big Brother house for like the rest.
Have
of
you
my
ever
life.
Watched it?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, like I remember watching the first season of Big Brother, the American version. And so I watched the first few seasons of that and I didn't mind it. That was back when I think reality TV was still kind of fresh.
And
you know, there's a lot of hate for it still, but it was at least fresh. Then it kind of got a little bit, you know, it wore its welcome pretty fast for me. My kids got into it a little bit when they were a little bit younger. My wife and my daughters kind of watched the American one. They watched the first season of the Canadian one and it was okay, they thought, but then they just fell out of it. So we haven't really watched the Canadian or American Big Brother for years now.
Like, it's so much better, the Canadian versions, like, because they actually play the fucking game. Like America, like it's all just like one-sided, like, and they're just there for like a summer vacation. It feels like they're not like really scheming or anything. And that's all Big Brother Canada is just straight scheming and plotting.
Right.
And I love it.
It's crazy when you can actually remember fucking contestants from the, like, I remember Evil Dick or Evil
Dick. Yeah. Yes, I follow him. He has a podcast. It's Dick at Night.
Oh my God.
Dick at Night. It's amazing. He's like, he will do Dick at Night is he covers like Survivor and Big Brother when they're on,
right?
So the day after he'll release an episode and he'll like break down like their gameplay and everything, and it's great. I love it.
Which, if you know Mark Nato from the Horrorcast, his sister was on Survivor.
Yeah, she was.
That's crazy. Yeah, we might just abandon horror podcasting altogether and just start doing reality TV podcasts.
Nobody would listen to us.
I don't care. Let's just do it.
We love reality TV.
For
we really
sure.
do. Dan will watch Real Housewives with me.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never watched a show, an episode of that. That I can admit. Remember there was that short-lived horror reality show? It was horrible. I think Sam Raimi executive produced it or probably had his name attached to it, but it just wasn't all that great.
Was it where they were at summer camp?
Was Felicia Rose on it?
I need to know the name of the show. Like
they redid. They did another one this past year.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It was like at summer camp.
Yeah, right.
And like,
yes.
Each episode, somebody got killed off.
But that one was
that one got so bad.
Okay, the thing with reality TV is people try and narrate too much of their reality shows these days. And that one, like, it was literally mixed with, like, you know, clearly choreographed things going on and cinematic shots of these things. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, like, it's just not the same thing.
It's not reality.
That one failed, but yeah, that one we were excited for a short period of time just because it was horror-related.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should create a horror reality show because I think we could do it and we could do it right.
I'm down.
Nobody watches more reality TV than me.
My wife was on a reality television show that was short-lived. There's only one season in Canada. It's called No Opportunity Wasted. But they did No Opportunity Wasted around the world. They did it in different things. And the main host was like the dude from The Amazing Race, that Australian dude. She didn't meet that guy. He just narrated it. Like, he probably came in for a day and narrated the thing. And then there was
Bill Cogan or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. But so her fear in a nutshell was that she was afraid to drive. Like, I met her. We lived in Toronto at the time. She had lived in Toronto since 16. So she never got her license, never thought to. And then we meet, we get engaged. We're going to get married. We move to the suburbs, back to the suburbs. And she's like, shit, I guess need to drive. We even started leasing a car for her to try to. So I had a car and we leased one for her to get her motivated to do it. And it was almost a year before she went on the show. She went on the show and conquered her fear of driving. And everything's true. Like, she did these courses in it. But where I'm going with that, I'll get to it. And she got her license like the week after. No word of a lie. But getting to the show, she would say something. They're like, you know what? We didn't get that. Can you mind repeating it? So she said, it's really shocking. So you will say stuff, but then for cinematic, purposes, they'll get you to repeat it. So, you know, quote unquote scripted. Essentially, right. They liked what you said, so they want you to repeat it for the cameras to make sure that they got it the way they want it.
That's so, just, crazy. So did it air?
Oh, it aired. Yeah, we had a couple friends over for like a little barbecue. Watched it that night, and that was it. It was I don't remember what episode it was. I think it was the season finale or something like that. But it was really cool.
Was really cool. Pleased with the way it came out?
Oh yeah, it was good. And like I filmed a little segment like afterwards when she went to get her license. She just said, I'm going on Tuesday. Went on Tuesday, got her license, and she came in. She said, I got my license. The girls were really young at the time. We didn't even have our son at the time. And they just start cheering. This is like back in 2007. They just start cheering, and they put that little segment on the show as a little capper. And that was it.
That's
and
awesome.
That's our little dance with reality TV. That and Pornhub. That's a whole different story.
What do you mean? Was the movie Sex Tape with Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel based on your life?
Yes. How did you know?
Well, I mean, you said, you know, like I can just picture you trying to track down the tape to get it removed. I think that was like one of her last movies, actually, Cameron Diaz. I think Annie was her last one, but like her last major one that people probably actually watched was, I think, Sex Tape.
Oh, my gosh. I remember Bad Teacher.
We just watched that recently, and like we literally laughed the entire time. Bad Teacher is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, when.
A lot better than I expected it to be.
Justin Timberlake is by far, like, the standout comedy that you didn't expect, in my opinion, because he's like, I love the way your jeans feel in my jeans. And then the way his face looks when he comes, he's like, ugh.
I shockingly can act, or at least deliver incredibly. Like, I he was in, I think Alpha Dog. Yeah, he was okay in that, but he was much better in Bad Teacher, and I thought I remember him. Oh, he was also in Social Network, right?
Dude, he's in Social Network, and he's in one of my favorite
Davis.
Yes,
is that the name? Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Llewellyn. Yeah,
that's a Davis. That's a tongue twister.
That's not the Coen Brothers, is it?
It is. One of my favorite Coen Brothers movie ever.
I'm just, like, getting into the Coen Brothers, really. We just watched Fargo.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And then season one of the TV show.
I just finished season one of Fargo. Have you seen it, Christian? Good.
I haven't, and I heard it's amazing. Chris Rock's in that, is he not?
He's in season four.
That's season four.
Season one is Billy Bob Thornton, Bad Santa himself.
Yeah, we got Billy Bob, we got Colin Hanks. Who else is in season one?
Key and Peele.
Sal himself, Better Call Saul. Bob Odenkirk.
Yep, Key and Peele.
Key and Peele is in it. Like, it's one of the most amazing shows ever.
It's crazy.
It's got the dude from Always Sunny in it, too. That's just season one.
Dennis.
Like, all the seasons are different, but that's one of the shows where it takes kind of the Coen Brothers feel. And it's clearly not the, like, you know, it's not.
I think they produced it, though.
They produced it, for sure, but they produce a lot of things.
But it does have the same feel as the movie.
Absolutely.
Just watch the first episode and you will be hooked.
Oh, dude, yeah, Bilbo Baggins, he goes off. Yeah, it's crazy.
If I watch it with my wife, I can only watch so many shows, and she'll just binge them all. Like, her favorite show is The Marvelous Miss Maisel, I think.
I haven't seen that one.
She loved it, and she can't wait for the next season to come out. Like, that was her newest favorite. But she watches everything, like anything that seems to be trending. She's either watched out of the gate, or it's almost impossible.
That's awesome.
Isn't it cool though to have somebody that is into that though?
Yeah,
like that you're with somebody that loves, like, you know, entertainment.
Well, that's silly. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we met because we both had a love for movies. I don't think she realized my love for horror movies was as geekish as it was, but
right. So, fuck, what did I get myself
into? But I love all genres. Like, I mean, I love everything.
Right.
I just happen to, you know, of course, most of my time, I think, as we all do, a lot of it is geared into the horror realm or horror genre. I mean, I try to watch all that action this movie. I caught up on all my childhood favorites and all the movies I love growing up with, and I got through a majority of them this year. That was a good chunk of the, you know, 499 that I'm at.
Yes. So. You didn't want to make number 500 the Grinch, did you? You were like, these fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I forgot what 500 was for me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember it was like a big thing, though, but I don't remember what it is at this point in time. The question that I have for you, Christian, is obviously, like, this is a Christmas, 12 days of Christmas episode, but speaking in general, Christmas movie terms, do you watch, like, just strictly, like, horror Christmas films, or you have kids, so, like, obviously you watch kids' Christmas?
He just said he watches
everything. Do you watch, like, the Hallmark?
No, I don't do the Hallmark.
Does that draw the line?
No, it's just I don't like them. I find them too schmaltzy and forced. So, like, here's the reality of our house. I know it's the whole point, but here's the reality of our house. This year in particular, it is because of COVID. There were Christmas movies played at our house like November 15th. We've already watched Christmas Vacation. Touched Elf, I think, once. The Home Alone 1 and I think 2 were already played. And of course,
you did not get a clue for Jovi. That mistletoe.
Buzz's girlfriend. What?
As well, that's the problem. We didn't watch Jingle All the Way. But I don't watch, so to answer your question, I don't watch the Hallmark ones. No. I mean, Christmas with the Cranks is probably as far as I'll go.
Right. Now, hey, do you consider Batman Returns a Christmas movie?
No, I don't, but I will be the one that says Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 and Die Hard 1 and 2 are Christmas films.
Gremlins, obviously.
Oh, one of your segments was almost Name That Christmas Villain.
Yeah, that would have
because
been
we're fun. Doing the Grinch, and obviously. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert! If you haven't looked at the
what
cover.
Do you mean? They know what the fuck they're listening to, baby.
I don't know why I keep doing that like every episode. If you didn't already know,
if you've lived under a rock,
I've said that like every.
If
episode.
You're too stupid to read the title.
Stop it. I have said that.
I know.
I've said that on every episode. I'm sorry, listeners. I love you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody. But no, we are covering the Ron Howard directed, Jim Carrey
live
starring
adaptation
of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one,
Mr. Looch.
You really
everybody.
Are an eel.
Now, Kristen, did you grow up with the classic cartoon? You know, was this one of your go-tos?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. Same with Charlie Brown. I mean, it would be the ones that we watched every year, of course. So I always I had the book growing up. We have the book now. And the cartoon was probably played numerous times leading up to Christmas. It just was a favorite. So when I heard they were going to make a live action film, I just met my wife. I was like, just met her earlier in the year. And I was like, I can't believe it. And, you know, Jim Carrey, that's awesome. Like this sounds like it's going to be great. And like, I know I'm older than you guys a bit, but I don't know if it's just that when it follows the script, when it follows the cartoon, and when it follows the book and everything I love about the book, the movie works. I think it's great.
Right.
But it goes off in the middle there for about a half an hour, and it's just very messy and loud, and I'm not on board with it. I just find it kind of annoying. But
I totally agree with that statement.
I totally disagree.
In the middle is kind of crazy, but yeah.
We'll get into that shortly, guys.
I'm sorry. I know, I'm jumping the gun, like I said, but yeah.
He's got a lot to say.
Don't be sorry, but just say sorry, because I could listen to that all night.
In a boot.
Sorry, so sorry. In a boot.
No, guys, this is actually How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Actually turned 20 this year.
Yeah, that is insane.
Happy anniversary.
That's so weird how time works.
It does not feel like this movie is 20 years old.
No.
Especially watching it today, it feels like it just came out a couple years ago.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, too, Kristen. You said, you know, in anticipation, you were excited for it initially. I think that, you know, I grew up with the cartoon as well, and I think it's a classic. It's great, you know? But the live adaptation, I didn't rush out to see. It was one of those where I don't think my movie watching was really that cultivated at that point. Like, I knew what I liked, but I wouldn't actually go out of my
way. You were 15 when this movie came out.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? The year that you met your wife, Christian, I was a sophomore in high school.
And I Holy was in shit. Junior high.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, right? Isn't that crazy?
I was a sixth grader.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Lacey was, yeah, exactly, with her Grinch backpack.
No, I didn't have a Grinch.
That was in high school.
Not true.
No, it's funny because I remember it, yeah. And I said it was the year we met. And that's how I remember it. But when you told me we were doing this movie, and I went back to check when it was released, yep. Because my daughter had asked, I said, "Oh, I believe it was," and I thought it was the year we got married, so I thought it was going a few years later. And then I'm like, "Holy shit, it's 2000!" I'm like, "It's 20 years old," and like you said, I'm like, "I can't believe that." I mean, I know it's, that we're talking it's seven. Like I thought the difference was only like, you know, 2-3 years difference from what it actually was, but it's shocking that you freeze the time frame in your head and you're like, "Oh, that must have come out like 2010 or something like that." Like, you're not really thinking, you're like, "Holy crap, that was a long time ago."
And also, too, depending on your age bracket that you fall in, it's crazy. I saw a girl on Facebook, I believe it was earlier this year, and somebody was referring to the new one with Benedict Cumberbatch. And she was just like, you can't remake a classic. And she was referring to the Jim Carrey version.
I know.
Like, you dumb asshole.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, you went and talked to her. You were like, and I think you posted the link to the original.
I think it's hilarious. People don't even fucking realize. And that's the thing, like, with a live action adaptation, I feel like there are so many times along the way that you could drop the jingle ball, so to speak. And I feel like this movie didn't exactly nail it, like, on the head. But I think that they did a pretty damn good job with the source material anyways.
Yeah.
For sure. And, like, when we break it on down, it's shockingly smaller, the part that I find messy, than I originally thought. Really, because it's in that middle chunk, I kind of grouped it as a memory of, "Oh, I don't like that movie. It's loud, obnoxious, and it's just not for me." Even though I'm loud and obnoxious, but the movie itself, like, I didn't like. That's how I remembered the movie, and it's not just because of Jim Carrey, because I think Jim Carrey does a great job, even though really he just overacts every line. Like, at the end of the day, that's
like
It works for the character. And right. I remember, I think they were tooting the whole, like, he had to get like torture training or something from like the CIA had to come in. I think that was leaked as a way to sell the movie almost, and the makeup. And I knew the makeup was by the main guy was Rick Baker, who of course I loved. So I was like, I was on board from the makeup standpoint, more or less. And so that's where my sort of want of wanting to see that movie was, because I still hadn't given up on horror. As a lot of people said that, you know, you talk to a lot of people, there are some people that are on board with 90s horror and some people that are not. I never gave up on it. So when 2000 hit, you know, we had American Psycho, Final Destination. I was there in the theater watching them all. I'm like, "Oh my God, the gore is back." Suddenly, somehow the gore is back in these movies that had been censored for so long. And I was enjoying them. But like I said, I'd go see everything, and this was just another one that was on the list to see. And yeah, I was disappointed, and then I revisited it when I had kids. Like, I didn't watch it since that initial time until we had kids.
Take away the kids part, we basically have like the same story with this movie, because like I said, I didn't rush to go see it when it first came out, but I did see it. And you know what? I thought it was pretty good. I thought that Jim Carrey was awesome in it, because, you know, I've always been a big fan of his. He's so stupid. Like, you see a lot of Ace Ventura in his performance. You see a lot of, like, you know, the
Cable
moves.
Guy.
Yeah, he even does the Ace Ventura when he gets the arrows in his legs and he goes, He even does, like, a little version of that in this movie. And I think it was brilliant. But the movie as a whole, I mean, let's talk about one of the main things. That fucking makeup is creepy as shit on all the people. Well, all the Who's of Whoville are creepy as fuck.
I actually want to read the synopsis. One of the synopses is on IMDb. Because they're fucking hilarious.
I tried to cut to the chase.
And, well, once you hear this, you'll understand why I'm cutting you off right now.
Okay, all right, go. Because, cut off the chase.
Because I've never read...
Cut off the chase.
I have never read a description quite like this, especially describing how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Now, we had two solid synopsises in terms of movies, because a lot of the times we get shit ones. So you're saying this is going to break the streak of two solid ones.
Oh, no. It's 100% accurate.
Yeah?
But the way that it's worded... It is
go,
like, all right,
go, I'm
all
ready.
All right, let me get my narrative voice on.
Okay.
Inside a snowflake exists the magical land of Whoville, wherein live the Whos, an almost mutated sort of munchkin-like people who all love Christmas.
This is hot.
Just outside of their beloved town lives the Grinch, a nasty creature that hates Christmas and plans to steal it from the Whos, which he equally abhors. Little Cindy Lou Who decides to befriend the Grinch.
Oh.
Did you like that?
I love that. Like, about to hit pause on
that.
Right?
Thank you. But I think the funny part was it almost mutated.
I thought that's what you said. I was like, I can't tell.
It says an almost mutated sort of munchkin-like people who all love Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Like, why is this not a horror movie?
Okay, here's what... it's funny that you... No, one of the things, though, is I had asked you when we were watching this. I'm like, hey, you see Cat in the Hat? Now, that's a fucking disturbing movie. Mike Myers in that movie is straight creepy. Like, I'm a huge Mike Myers fan, but, like, damn, that movie is fucked up, like, in so many different ways. So compared to that, it's actually pretty fucking subtle. You know, you're talking Dr. Seuss. The only director that comes to mind when you say something like Dr. Seuss is who? Like a Tim Burton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what comes to mind. So I'll be honest with you. I think that it could have been a lot weirder if you didn't put it in Opie Cunningham's hands. Like, I think that he's like such
Opie?
Opie, yeah.
Who's Opie?
Opie. What do you mean?
Happy Days.
Who's Opie?
Richie Cunningham.
Yeah, but why are you saying Opie?
Sunday, his name's Monday, fucking Happy Opie. Days.
His name
Tuesday,
is Richie.
Wednesday, Happy Days. Saturday.
That's Little what Richie.
A, what a day.
Where does Opie come from?
These days are...
I love how you're not answering the question.
Say what?
These happy days.
Opie, he's redhead. What do you mean?
His name is Richie.
His name is Opie.
His name is Richie.
On the Andy Griffith Show, Opie.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Happy Days.
Sunday, Monday. Okay. No, but okay. But I think he's such a competent director, and he's so good at adapting Dr. Seuss's world that I feel like he actually doesn't get enough credit. You know, Burton gets all the accolades for being weird. Like, I made Edward Scissorhands. Like, and he is. He's a fucking genius. I get it. But he's also had a lot of fucking shit movies. And I feel like this movie is really solid. I feel like you have to stay on a track. You have to have a very clear vision, because everything that's going on, the way everybody looks, it's strange. We're not in this world, you know? We're not in fucking Mordor either, but we're not, like, you know.
Well, let's talk set design.
Yeah, let's do that.
Christian, what did you think? Do you feel like they transformed Whoville perfectly, or did you feel like it missed a beat?
I got mixed feelings on this. I love the Grinch's lair. I love the look that
Grinch's
they give.
Lair.
When he's on the mountain and everything, and Whoville, I mean, it's a live action adaptation. Like, it does look like they brought the book to, or the cartoon or whatever, the book to life. But the reality is something seems like, I feel like they missed a beat, or it's too congested and you're not able to appreciate it as much, but everything's there. All the beats are there. So I think maybe I'm just being a little bit nitpicky. Something doesn't, and I think it's because that's the part of the movie I like the least, is when they're in that downtown sort of city square.
Whoville.
Right. Yeah. It is busy. I know what you mean, though. it's not like laid back with a Whoville where everybody's happy. It's very like kind of Metro-ish in a way, as far as like as much as a Who Village could be. But I feel like, yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about. It almost needed a more laid-back tone.
No, I actually really liked it, you guys. It felt very Christmassy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It felt like the cartoon in an aspect.
I like it, too. I see what Kristen is saying.
Yeah, and I'm not against I mean, obviously, it's a Christmas movie. There's snow all over the place. I think I read that they crushed like a shitload of marble to make that fake snow on the whistle. I mean, yeah. I think that was one of the trivia things. It's crazy. Right. So what the effort that went into it cannot be denied. Like, I mean, that's great. Everybody was doing the thing, but something didn't translate well to the final film for me. And again, it just added to that kind of chaotic feeling that maybe I think that's what they were going for, but it didn't work for me. It, like, the camera's moving, there's cars beeping, and there's little mini midget who's, or little people who's, I don't know what to say.
No, you were right the first time.
And then there's regular size who's, and they all got the crazy face. Just imagine being an actor in this movie. It seems like it's going to be fun. That would have been nightmarish, man, because I don't even know how they breathed, other than through their mouth constantly. Because their nose would have been totally fun.
Well, let me ask you a question, Kristen. What would you do differently? Like how differently of an approach would you take if you were to change it?
I mean, it's a very good question. And again, I guess I would just space it out a little bit more. I think that is, it almost looked like you're watching a Broadway play. Right. And it took place in a small space. And so everything was just so bunched together, and I think I would have let it breathe a little bit more and just hide everything sort of, like, I guess just be more vast as opposed to just condensed into this one little area.
Right.
Because it comes across as sets. It looks like we're just looking at sets as opposed to a world.
Absolutely.
Well, see, for me, the sets worked. However, the makeup, It kind of made the Whos look like just assholes. Like, these are supposed to be the people that, like, embody Christmas and, like, they're, you know, I mean, you don't get to the moral of the story till the end of the film, obviously. But these characters with their, like, little pug noses, they look stuck up
like
as shit.
It was like that Twilight Zone episode when he takes the mask off and it's the pig face, dude.
That's not where I was going with that at all. But, I mean, that's the Whos look like straight-up assholes. Like, especially, like, when they're, you know, buying all those gifts and just throwing money at the register. And it's just so ridiculous, and everybody thinks Christmas is about gifts and whatnot.
Right.
But they seriously look like straight-up assholes. Like, I do not blame the Grinch for one fucking second for not wanting to be around these people.
Right, completely. And I also think, too, that, you know, while talking about these people in relation to the Grinch, I don't think that they made the Grinch too much of a bad guy to begin with in this movie. So you're right. Like, I feel like everything is kind of justified.
What do you mean they didn't make him too much of a bad guy?
They didn't.
He lit up a fucking Christmas tree.
I mean, listen, he did it. He did it in a fun way.
yeah, that might be so, but...
But then they had a backup anyways.
They did have a backup.
He didn't give a fuck. Here's the thing. The thing I have about these movies is they can be mean. We talked about this about Billy Bob and Bad Santa. Like, be as ruthless as you want, but if the movie's, like, mean-spirited, then that's where you lose me. You know? And I never felt like for a second that the Grinch wasn't redeemable and that he was even that much of a bad guy. Like, I get it, but, like, also, too, one of the main things, which we're obviously going to get into, is the backstory that they provide for the Grinch in this. Holy fuck, do you completely fucking side with him? Like, I get it, but I feel like we're all supposed to feel exactly the way he feels and then be along with him for his arc. Now, I don't think that was necessarily, you know, even in the cartoon kind of spelled out like it is in this movie. You don't get any backstory in the cartoon.
No, barely. No, that was all added. That was added to, I think, bring up the whole love interest and everything else, and to expand the movie into like a feature-length movie.
Right.
I and I again, you know why they do it from a storytelling sort of theatrical standpoint or cinematic standpoint, but it's not, I don't know if it was necessary per se, but I mean, again, it works and you it gives a little bit more meat on the bone, I guess. But well,
I will also say this, though. When I say that, I'm not even talking about the love story, really. It's that beard scene.
Let's get into, you know, Timmy here, fell down the well again from Passions, who plays...
That is from...
Have you heard that catchphrase from that Passion soap opera from back in the day? Timmy fell down the well again. Like the little Grinch is played by that character. For those that didn't know,
for the 8-year old Grinch,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
who passed away 2 years after this movie was made. So rest in peace.
Yeah,
he had a growing disorder, and he passed away at the age of 20. So he was 18 when he filmed this movie.
Yes,
playing baby Grinch.
Oh my God, I thought he was that Vern guy. No,
Vern Troyer is in this film.
In this movie, yeah.
Who was also in Jingle All the Way.
Yes, before he was like Vern Troyer, Mini-Me. Yeah.
Wow. How horrible is it that I just assumed it was him?
Well, to be fair, they all look the same.
Well, no, to be fair, Christian's not getting a Lollipop Guild Award anytime soon.
Yes! Dropping by Santa 2 lines.
This is literally the third film that we've talked about midgets.
Kathy Bates is fucking incredible. Like, add her to any movie and it's just fucking fantastic.
I think, if you ask my wife, one of her favorite actresses, Kathy Bates, has always sort of popped up as one of her favorites. So.
Yeah.
I'm right there with her. I don't really think of it until you really dissect everything she's been in. You're like, holy shit, great. She's fantastic.
Back to the backstory of the film.
Yeah.
That added in, not from the original, obviously. So, obviously, there are misconceptions of how they explain to their children how babies are made and delivered.
Yes, that was hilarious to me.
Like, they just float from the sky.
It was much like
hey,
a stork.
Our baby's here.
Right.
Like, and somehow the poor little Grinch gets caught in a tree. And so,
it's that simple
and
sometimes.
he gets taken in by like two older women.
Yeah.
And he grows up a little bit and he goes to school and he looks different than everybody because obviously he's green.
Right.
And the little fat fuck. Why are all the bullies in all these like films all little fat fucks?
Is that supposed to be the dude growing
that's
up?
That's Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because they got to make a not like there's got to be something. I was going to say wrong with the kid, which is horrible.
right.
But yeah, it just adds to his assholiness. Like,
right. Yeah. And I loved that scene though. And like I said, like oh yeah, it coincides with the relationship with the girl, obviously, but at the same time, like how that whole thing plays out, it's kind of silly and contrived anyways. So I more look at his acceptance being of, you know, people in general, of the whole town, of being ridiculed by the whole town, because everybody laughed at him, you know, the first time and when it happens again later.
All right, so let's just break this down.
The Whos are assholes.
I'm telling you.
Damn.
The reason the Grinch
dicks.
Decided to hate on Christmas and hate everybody in Whoville
is
because
to him.
Little Jeffrey Tambor said, you're 8 years old and you have
a beard.
And so he decided to go shave it off. And when he comes back, like he's trying to like hide it or whatever. Yeah. And, and instead, like they make him take away, you know, whatever he's hiding it with. And they just look at him, and it's got, like, little patches from where he cut himself shaving. This is what made him hate everybody.
Right.
This was their main course change of story to provide context.
No, I get it.
And all this, it was, you got some kind of hack job there. Or what was the line?
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
A bad hack job you got there. And that is where the Grinch decided to go away and never come back because he lived with two old broads that didn't tell him how to shave.
It's a anti-bullying movie.
Well, but the funniest part, my daughter put it as it was, he says you're an 8-year-old with a beard. That's the only place on his damn body he had absolutely no hair. You had no beer.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense now, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
I think they might as well, they should have given him like some sort of ZZ Top beard or something like that. Right. Something.
Something rockerish.
Right. Exactly.
But I love when he grabs that like Christmas tree and just shucks it.
Yes. And then he uses that for good. That scene comes back later when he lifts the sleigh. Like, he has super strength, but he uses it for good later. No, but listen, I know that, like, a story like this, no matter how flimsy the backstory is, it's still fucking literally 100% more than we got before. So I liked it. I feel like they could have fucked it up easily. I do feel like, though, kind of intertwining his, you know, shame in public with the love affair thing with that girl.
Martha May?
Yeah, I found that just to be a little lazy. I don't know.
Like, that bitch was a hoe.
She was a hoe, for sure, as we established earlier on the episode. Yeah, no, but I feel like they didn't even need that, because I'll be honest with you, and I hate to jump ahead here, but, like, when at the end, you know, they kind of get together and she gives him back, you know, the ring and all that kind of stuff. The Grinch's reaction is like so Jim Carrey dickish. He's just like, yeah, like he's just like
I got a girl. Yeah, I got a girl.
He's a complete ass about it. So that whole thing, I don't know. I feel like they could have completely removed the romantic aspect of it.
But just make it about she was into him at all.
Yeah, right, and that I didn't buy it either.
No, not at all.
That's what I'm saying. So when she did the big twist, like at the end or whatever,
that wasn't a twist.
Right, it's an M. Night Shyamalan, baby. That was a twist that the ages out delivered for us.
Thank you.
On a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't believe their relationship at all, and it was a moot point. But I mean, I get why he would be so embarrassed, because, you know, he was trying to impress a girl.
Right.
And then finally, they said she would never like him because he was an 8-year-old with a beard. Well, obviously he's not 8 years old anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
But like nobody's seen him for the ages. And when he does come out, he's rude.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like to talk about is the casting.
Oh, this cast is fire.
Yeah. Okay. So, for example, we have Sir Anthony Hopkins as the narrator.
With
Hannibal Lecter himself.
Daydream Will.
What do you feel about that, Christian?
Oh, you just summed it up. I mean, you know, it's his voice right away. He's got that distinct voice. Supposedly he came in and did it all in one day. Again, I think that's what I read in trivia. Boom. In, out, done. Mr. Professional.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's cool. You got his voice. If you're not going to get his voice, you got to get dude from, oh my God, Morgan Freeman. Oh my God, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Oh, guys, you're both wrong. There's only one answer. You have to get Pharrell.
Pharrell. No. Have you seen the cartoon version, Christian?
No, my mother brought my son to see it at the theater when it came out. And so it debuts on Netflix on Saturday. So he's looking forward to watching it again.
Okay, we went and seen it when I went to Massachusetts before Dan moved to Iowa. And I was in Massachusetts at the time. And it made our worst of list.
Dude.
I remember.
Oh, you remember? Yeah. Like, we were going to rewatch it for this episode, and we just couldn't.
I think just by comparison, this movie would be rated higher if you see how bad that one is.
Which is weird, because by the guys that did, like, Despicable Me, Minions, right?
Dude.
Here's
the thing. The joy, the Christmas joy that you feel in movie, like I felt it during this movie. You know, it comes from a comedic place, but I still felt it in this movie. But that movie has no joy in it. It has no magic to it. It's very much like paint by numbers. This is our updated version of the Grinch. And like, there are obviously slight little variations and that they can do with obviously animation that they can get away with. But it was so fucking bad. And Pharrell as a narrator, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, it was bad. It was bad.
Hannibal Lecter would eat his heart out with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I feel like you were about to rhyme like Dr. Susie.
I was about to.
No, Chianti Susie.
Oh! I see what you did there.
But any movie with Clint Howard, at least his brother puts his brother in a movie. And Clint Howard's awesome.
He's so awesome, dude. Say it.
Okay, no, I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you this funny story, Christian. So, like, I get hit up like randomly from time to time because obviously, like, I'm a female podcaster, and sometimes those are far and few between, right? And I obviously write for a horror website, and so I get some guys from time to time in my inbox asking me to guest on their podcasts.
Okay.
And I never know if they're like legit podcasts or if somebody who's like or if they're just like a few podcasts in, you know, and they want somebody prominent that's done it before to, you know, come on for them.
I'm really excited.
Jesus Christ. I mean, and I've guessed it on a couple of these, and they've all been like horror nightmares. So I had one person, like, send me a message, like, just, like, about a month ago, was it?
I read your Scream article on Pop Horror.
Isn't that what you said to me in my inbox?
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
In that voice, too. You're welcome.
So, so this guy was like, hey, I see you like horror, and I see you do horror podcasting. Would you want to guest on my show?
What's
and,
up, girl?
And I was just like, okay, whatever. I was probably drinking that night. So that's usually how you get me to agree to things. Like if...
Hey, girl, you like The Evil Dead?
No.
How about Part 2?
Well, not the remake. Part 2 is the best. But anyways, so this kid... I'm not going to mention his name because, like, if he listens to this, I'll feel
he'll bad. Never listen, and that's the point. They want to try and, like, hey, girl, want to come on my podcast? But they're not smart enough to fucking try and listen to anything that you do and try and get to know you.
But I was just okay, before I agree to come on your podcast, because I've been burned so many times by, like, unprofessionals and, like,
right.
I'm leading their show when I guest, and that's not what I want to do. Like, I'm
can
a guest.
Come on and
like,
host my show?
Treat me like a motherfucking queen that I am. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, at least host your own goddamn show.
Right.
And... you know, I've been doing this a while, so you should have some professionalism, and I don't want to host. So anyway, so I was like, can you please...
So this was the Schroyers that you're that calling.
can you send me a link to your podcast so I can listen to it, you know, make sure you're like legit podcaster.
And the link that he fucking sends
has an interview with the one and only Clint Howard.
Dude.
That's how this gets correlated into this episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. So I was like, oh, well, he's got an interview with somebody. So, you know, maybe this is, you know, something prominent.
Right.
And I'm going to send you this later, Christian. But just so you can have context.
It was literally like that Chris Farley skit on SNL. You remember that movie that you were in? That was great.
No. Oh, man, really?
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. So
you remember
that's awesome.
Clint Eastwood did this thing?
No, baby, it's worse than that. So I listened to it, and I'm, like, thinking, like, it's going to be like, because, you know, I interview, and, like, I do it a certain way or whatever.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's going to be just, like, a straight-up interview with this person,
right.
With Clint Howard. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I love, all right, well...
First of all, he told Clint, hold on, I got to do the news real quick.
Well, no.
He's like, hold on, Clint.
So I didn't know what this guy said.
Like, he's like, we have new Batman news.
He has a list.
Oh, my God.
And Robert Pattinson won't work out this week. Can you believe it, Clint?
He goes, should we just clip of this?
No.
No, okay. But this guy has a list, and he's like, hello, Clint. I love your comedy. You're one of the very funniest comedians that I have ever had. And
that scene in Austin Powers.
And Clint Howard goes, oh, thank you. He's like, you know, I don't really consider myself, you know, like a comedian. So that's really nice of you to say. He goes, you're welcome. Before we get into the interview, which will be in a few minutes, I'm going to get into the news of my podcast and talk about what I watched recently. And, like, he, like, talks about, like, a random movie. He's like, all right, I'm going to break down my review. He was like, all right, I just watched Black Christmas 2019, and there were four hot girls, so I give it 4 stars.
Oh, my Lord. If I was Clint, I'd be like, I got to get the hell out of this.
I didn't listen past that. That wasn't the movie he used, but, like, he literally said, he was, like, rating a film, four hot girls or one hot girl or something. Right. Like, I will send, God. I will send you a link to this. I could not stop laughing. I was like, hey, Dan, I'm a hot commodity that, you know, just got asked to be on a podcast. Because Dan's, like, always weary when somebody asks me to guest.
Oh, I'm not weary. I'm like, go. I'm like, let me
no.
watch. You know, first thing, the only question I'd ask Clint if I ever was able to interview him is like, do you ever spell your name in capital letters and then just look back and look at it and go, hey, that looks like, and I'll let everybody write it in capital letters and then sit back and look at it. And
are you talking about Clint?
it's the other one that you're not allowed to say.
The
and
other
we'll get
one.
You kicked off the show.
What
the other C word.
Cunt? What do you mean we use
cunt
these words? We use these words daily.
Richard Cunningham.
They're just,
words. When you do C-L-I-N-T in capitals.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right.
So, Cunt Howard. what's your favorite ice cream?
I think what this kid did was way worse. That story went on a little bit too long, so I apologize.
I know. I love it. I love your rendition of the kid. I want to hear it.
I'm gonna send you a link to it, I promise. All right, should we get back to the Grinch?
Yes, let's do that.
All right, so we got more characters. We got another SNL member here. Molly Shannon. What
yes.
do you think of her, like, as an actress?
I don't like her.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of Molly Shannon. I think that I can see that she's talented or whatever. There are certain people on SNL that, like, I just fucking, like, I just can't keep a straight face. She's always just been like, eh.
I like her as Mary-Kathryn Gallagher.
Not even.
What do you mean?
No.
Come on.
Sometimes shit-eating grin on her face. Like, she always looks like, heh? It's like if I'm in a movie or something like that. Even if it's a serious role, I always think I'd be, like, smugging for the camera or something like that. I can't take her seriously.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like, she's
Get
like,
with product
sometimes,
shoes.
Sometimes when I get nervous and stick my arms in my armpits and I smell them like this.
Like,
come
that,
on.
Like, that's never been funny to me. Even when you just did, that's never been funny.
But you just looked at me and you kind of laughed. No, he didn't at all.
I didn't at all. Like, you know I didn't, because that shit ain't funny.
You're
no,
little...
listen, I get how some people can see that.
How
funny.
Was she in this film, though?
I don't know. And honestly,
what
like...
What do you mean you don't know?
I disliked her to begin with, and then you give her a who knows on top of it. And it was just like, I hate this bitch. That's where it ends on Molly Shannon for me.
Who knows?
All right, so then we also have the very controversial Taylor Momsen, who plays Cindy Lou Who.
Now, why is she controversial, baby?
Because she smokes. Well,
grows up.
She was on Gossip Girl as one of the main characters, and she
was she Gossip Girl.
I'm not saying anything. You do not need to know that. He's going to watch it at some point.
I'm not.
You will.
Never.
We watched like two episodes and you were loving it. Fuck off.
I did.
Anyways.
I love Gossip Girl. I'm sorry. I lied.
XOXO. Anyway, so she was on the show and she, you know, was late to... She was basically the Jenny Garth. Or no, she was basically the Shannon Doherty of 90210.
Oh, damn.
Girl. So where she was just late all the time. Nobody wanted to work with her. She didn't remember her line. She was partying. She was like at the peak of like her adolescence, you know, of going from a girl to a woman as the show was, you know,
as
airing.
Christina Aguilera says in her song.
Stop it.
Or is that Britney? Sorry.
I have not yet a girl, not yet a woman. Yes, that's Britney Spears.
Yes.
But yeah,
this is the little girl in the movie, right? I've got the right character.
Yes, Cindy Lou. Yes.
She's not a little girl anymore, Kristen.
Well, that and she just wanted to. She started to. She had like a band, and she was very emo goth, and it was very different than what her character was on Gossip Girl. So she was really struggling to play this character at that point in time because she's like finding out like who she is, and like she was very emo.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of – they actually ended up writing out her character for a while because I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
But they wrote her out. She does come back at a certain point.
She jumps off a building.
Spoiler!
I'm kidding. I don't know. I've never watched this show.
But, yes, yeah, she was controversial, but she's so cute in this movie, and I think she did a great job as Cindy Lou Who. I think she played a pretty perfect Cindy Lou Who, in my opinion.
Absolutely, baby.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. She's cute. She's it works when she's singing the song and when she's pops up at the end with the Grinch and his heart's just grown and he wants to save her. It just works. She's actually perfectly cast for the role. I made the smoking joke as I read that she got pissed off because I guess because everybody remembers her in this movie. And yeah. I guess when she was 16, she smoked. And so people would be like, well, why? Well, I can't believe she smokes and all this. And she's like, I just want to live my life. That shit would suck, eh?
If you're an actor, did you just say a Dr. Seuss book?
Eh?
Podcast yeah. made. Thank you.
Hey.
Like, I feel like I'm living Big Brother Canada right now.
So, who else we got in this cast?
We have Jeffrey Tambor, who plays the mayor.
Who else?
I mean,
who? Oh, I'm just giving you a picture. Yes. Who else? we got Jeffrey Tambor, who plays the mayor, and the other love interest of Cindy Lou Who, who was also the little fat fuck that said you're 8 and have a beard.
Yes.
What did you think about him as the mayor?
It was stereotypical, right? Like he's not likable at all. Mm-hmm. He's like I kind of wish that they at least give these characters a little bit that you kind of feel sorry for him, but you don't. Like him, you know there's an ulterior motive right from the get-go with the guy.
What'd you think of his hair?
All of them had really crazy hair. Who hair?
Who hair? So our dog's name is Jules. Like, I've had her for a long time.
That is the baby who.
And her name is Jules, but I've called her Hooters for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I used to I'm like, hoo-hoo, come here, Hooters. Come here, Who. So, like, her nickname has become the Who. So, like, whenever, and she sheds or whatever, and I was like, I got a Who hair. So, when you said Who hair, it just, like, we thought about the baby.
We did. No, Jeffrey Tambor, though, he's a legend, obviously, Arrested Development. He's in so many great
comedies.
He's
in a lot.
He's in, like, okay, I'm trying to look through his IMDb.
Wasn't he in that transgender, what was it called? Translucent? The transgender movie, the show.
No, it was a TV show.
Oh.
Yeah, like, it was, like, groundbreaking, right, at that time?
I just know him from Hellboy.
I mean, that might have been what inspired Elliot Page.
Transfixed?
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked him enough. I mean, he probably could have got anybody in that character role, to be honest. Like,
I agree. Yeah.
I don't think him... I don't think he really brought anything new or different, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he probably could have been a bigger asshole because I think all the Who's are assholes. But and then let's get into our major player here, Jim Carrey.
Dude, he's so much fun to watch. If you're a fan even remotely of Jim Carrey, I feel like there's something here in his performance that you'll like. Like I said earlier, you know. He's doing little variations or, you know, similar variations to stuff that I grew up with. When I watch that, honestly, I'm laughing because I'm fucking seeing Fire Marshal Bill behind there. But I love that stuff because, you know, if you ever follow Jim Carrey's story, shit, man, he tells a story on Oprah. But he wrote himself a check for, I think, $2 million or whatever. And he wrote it to himself when he was broke, you know, working on In Living Color, just trying to break into the business. And he said, if I can't cash this check in a year, then I'm going to quit. I'm just going to give it all up. And on that day, like literally that day that the check was dated, he got the mask for like a ridiculous amount of money and then he was off and running. Like I just love that guy so much. Like he's done so much great work between, you know, obviously the Cable Guy, Ace Ventura, Truman Show. Like
yes.
he's so
versatile
much.
Too.
He's ridiculous.
He's one of those actors that like okay, so like I get offended when people say they don't like him.
Right.
Like I'm one of those.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, him and Adam Sandler, like, they're very close to my heart.
I feel like we grew up with them.
Yeah, like, yeah. And we followed them for a long time. And, you know, I don't necessarily like everything that they do, but, like, the things that they have done that I love.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
totally.
When my grandma's like, I don't like him. I just don't like his stuff. Well, you know what? I don't like you, Grandma.
Grandma ran over by a
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Get back in the kitchen and get me dinner, Grandma.
Like, why don't
get
you
get the yams?
Okay, like, obviously, like, you come from like a time of like comedy that, like, I feel like
no electricity.
No, yeah, no electricity.
Light the candle, Grandma.
Like, they just come from, like, a different era, and, like, I feel like their timing and their humor, you know...
Sucks.
I'm talking about Jim Carrey and, like, Adam Sandler. Like, their timing and their comedy.
Yeah.
It just emulates, like, the dawn of the age of where I'm from. It
reflects the time.
Yeah. Like, it feels like home. Yeah. Like, I've said this before. Like, yep. I mean, like, you know, Chevy Chase feels like home to me.
Right.
But, like, Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, like... Some of the movies that they did, they have touched me and, like, my heart. And so, you know, like, Click. People hated that. People hate the movie Click. I absolutely fucking love that movie. The Truman Show. Right. People hate it. I fucking love that movie.
Truman Show. Who doesn't like The Truman Show? That movie's amazing.
I don't know. People suck. People don't like Ed Harris.
That movie's terrible.
Well, he's now Buster Keaton.
Did you say Lisa's grandma?
Lacey's grandma.
Did you just call me Lisa? Lacey Lisa?
Lacey! Well, you'll hear it on his playback. I was too busy trying to crack the joke about the Buster Keaton.
Charlie
Chaplin.
You're still on grandma jokes, aren't you?
Take it off.
All right, guys. Let's get back into the plot of this film here.
Yes.
So... All right, the Grinch goes into town, what is it, 3 times throughout the film? Aside from when he's a child.
Right.
So the first time he goes, he's obviously, like, out of food or something.
Right.
And he's like, get my cloak. And, you know, he's got his dog Max, which is so cute.
I love the dog.
I love the fact that he has a dog. Like, obviously, you know he's not a shit terrible person because he still takes care of his dog.
And
he has a dog.
And how real life is that? You can always tell how people treat their pets and stuff like that. Now, the dog in the cartoon, their relationship, that was basically the whole movie, right? Like, they played off each other so much. So in this one... I'll be honest with you, like, I kind of...
Needed more of the dog?
I felt that it was lacking in a sense until I saw that little baby when the Grinch finally changes his heart and the tail starts wagging.
Aww.
I got so fucking happy. And there's one scene that the dog, like, he's up in the dog's face and the dog just kind of looks to the side like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm talking about.
It's a great edit, a great shot. That dog... Like, you just think he's, like, Scraps. That dog's amazing. Like,
yes.
I don't know what his name is, but I'm calling him Scraps because that's what he looks like. He's just the cutest dog ever. Max.
Yeah. And I honestly think that was the heart of the cartoon, and I felt like I was, like,
did
waiting.
Did you just call him Scraps?
Scraps, yeah. He said.
I don't know his name in real life, but I'm going to call him Scraps.
Yeah, Scraps.
Like, instead of just going with his character name, I'm going to make up a name for you in real life. Scraps.
Fucking dinner scraps.
What the fuck?
Lisa, I'm just joking.
God Lisa damn Simpson. It. I'm going to start calling you Derek.
Take it easy, Bob. All right, let's move on to the next part here.
No, one thing that I noticed, like, when he was in town, he somehow had magical bad breath. Like, his breath was so bad that it made somebody pass the fuck out. Did you guys
The green mist.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, why did he just not do that to the entire town?
Right.
And then he could have, like, snuck in and did whatever he needed to do.
Totally.
He only did it to one person, though.
Yes.
And what about the termite teeth?
That's right.
But Martha May still wanted his green sack.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, damn, I guess that's not a deterrent enough. She's a freaky ass.
I'm telling you, she's a kinky
hoe.
She is a kinky missile hoe.
Damn. It's all just hitting me right now.
I'm telling you, she's fucking a hoe.
I gotta rewatch it.
No.
You gotta read between the lines when you're watching these movies.
Yes.
When that heart grew 3 times that day, you know what you're talking about.
But that visit, though, was probably, that was the first one, and that was the most brief one.
Oh, I forgot we were talking about cast members, and you mentioned this earlier,
yes,
Dan.
Yeah.
Us being horror fans, I still didn't even see her when we were watching it, but Caroline Williams!
Oh my god, talk about a leprechaun fucking
Texas 2? Yeah, and where was she in this movie? How did I not recognize her either?
I think she was probably like, okay, so you know how when we talked to Danielle Harris and she was like, I'm in a Quentin Tarantino movie. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And we'd already seen it, yeah.
Yeah, if you blink, you'll fucking miss her. She has like 2 lines in it. Oh, yeah. Whatever. I think it's that type of situation where I'm sure
she had a Who Knows.
Yeah, and like Brian Grazer, I believe he did 24 and all that, and then Ron Howard. Like those are big time directors. So even like when we talked to Lou Temple, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too. You're a small player in a much bigger picture, but it is great just to be there. And much like this situation, hey, I mean, yeah, you're Caroline Williams, and yeah, we didn't see you, but you're still in the Grinch, like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's still you're still in a fucking
in a Ron Howard film.
He made Apollo 13. You know who else is in this though? That I found out who plays the biker who? Holy shit! It's Jesse Pinkman's almost replacement, Gail Bettecker from Breaking Bad.
What?
Yes, dude. Yes. Remember that creepy video that they find of him?
I mean, I guess because of the budget. They were able to have an all-star quote-unquote cast. It works, but, I mean, like we were saying earlier, some of them are caricatures, of course.
Right.
It is based off of a book and a children's cartoon as well. Jim Carrey, as I mentioned earlier, I love him too. He does overact in certain scenes, but I think he has to.
Right.
And the reason I'm going back to this is I think it's important to mention he has to bring it through the makeup because there's so much makeup and so much that went into that suit that he's got to be able to get that performance through that. And I think that's why he goes over the top and why you're seeing all the fire marshal bill and all the shit from Ace Ventura. I think he's just bringing everything to the table. And it works. And it works. And I think that's the reason why, like, I love Mike Myers too, but I think that's the reason why Cat in the Hat is he just couldn't get through the makeup. And it weighs on you. Like, that. Think about it. His whole, like, it's him. But he's got to accentuate himself. I mean, like the eyes were, if they, like, in the few shots that they were CG, he's wearing those big yellow contact lenses. And I mean, he's just tons of makeup pounded on him. I mean, it's shocking that he was able to get anything expression-wise out, to be honest.
Right,
and he did it good.
Anyway. He's always been a very physical comedian though, with his body and stuff like that. But here's one thing, like, it's a subtle thing, but like when he's in the conga line, when he goes to the town for the second time, and they're going to give him an award, which is fucking hilarious because like, and this is kind of the spot where it lost me. But like,
I love the scene.
In terms of the plot, though, it makes sense. It really does. It makes sense because it does set up what's about to happen with the Grinch as we know it.
And it does show you that, like, obviously he likes to feel a part of.
He loves it. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That, for that, I do like it. Yeah, I really do.
And then it goes back to where, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, but in the conga line when he's doing it and he's just like, no, and then they force him, okay, and he throws his leg up. Like, it's just, it's subtle stuff like that if you're a fan of, like, Jim Carrey's humor and the way he's stupid with his mouth and the way he moves his
body.
Fucking body, then not only can you appreciate it, but you find it funny, you know? Even if you're not the biggest Jim Carrey fan, I believe he does transcend that costume. I believe
he worked with what he had.
Absolutely. And if he didn't come through that costume, that suit, that would have been one creepy motherfucker. Like you said, those yellow eyes. Dude, that's a scary looking dude if you're not Jim Carrey under there.
Well, and going back to being scary, when he's trying to scare Cindy Lou Who when the first time he comes to town.
Right.
And she's like, the Grinch.
Right.
And then, like, he's, like, trying to scare her, and she's, like, not fazed at all once he starts trying to scare her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I like that scene.
Yeah. So I think it's great. But going back to what you were saying when he is doing the conga line or whatever, and, you know, when we were watching it, Dan was like, I can't remember what it is that pisses him off that makes him want to steal Christmas.
Yeah, I was like, what happens here? Yeah, I was like, something big must happen. And do you feel like it was big enough?
Was enough for him to want to steal Christmas?
Right. Do you think it was?
The fact that the mayor proposed to Martha May.
And the fact that
he gave him a shaving razor.
Yes.
I mean, again, they wedged it in.
Right.
Because they're trying to elongate the story and they're working with the backstory that they created.
Right.
Is it forced? Yes.
Yeah.
Does it get the movie? Does it take the movie to where I want it to go, absolutely. And then the last 45 minutes are great. And I mean the last 45 minutes, including final credits, because that's what I remember. We stopped it, and I said, yeah, it's that middle chunk I don't like. And then when I started it again, we had 45 minutes left. And I said, holy crap, from this point forward, when he's back up there with the dog and they're going to steal Chris, that's where the movie is amazing again.
Yes,
from that point to the end. Amazing may be strong, but I thoroughly enjoy it at that point, and it's exactly. And what I realized is, I guess I really kind of wanted a live action copy of the cartoon that I grew up with.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I feel like they may have thrown in a little bit too much, but I do like the backstory. But I also feel like too, you know, like you said, that last third of the movie when he's going to steal Christmas, and then, you know, subsequently when he gives it back. That it's so well done, and I feel like they kind of set everything up earlier nicely to where it all pays off. I do believe that, like, you know, when the shaving scene does come around for the second time, everybody starts laughing and they're complete dickheads. So what is that, like, what is the movie really trying to say? I know Cindy Who comes through, check 1, 2, what you gonna do, sorry, but I couldn't help myself. But, like, you know, and then she changes everybody's minds.
But yeah.
But like, what the fuck? Like, that makes no sense. Everybody's a dick. And then they're just like, oh yeah, sorry, we're dicks.
Well,
like,
see, for me, I feel like this film is not only just made for kids, but it does have adult humor in it as well.
Because, the humor, yes.
Because obviously, you know, it's an adaptation of a classic, so they wanted to kind of appeal to, you know, the adults that had watched the old.
Which I like that.
Yeah, and, like, one of the jokes that was in there is when, you know, the mayor gives Martha May a car.
Right.
And he says, yeah, thankful to or paid by the taxpayers of Whoville.
Right.
Like, that's fucked up. That's so fucked up.
Right?
I mean, there's multiple, like, innuendos and jokes throughout this for adults.
Right.
And I don't know. I just feel like, and I mean, Martha May is like definitely kinky. I mean, she's wearing that little robe later, and
right,
like,
Santa suit.
I mean, she's shooting out a gun or like to put up her lights. Like,
I
wish they had more of a competition with the lights with her and you know, Cindy Lou's parents.
Right. See, okay, you mentioned the gun shooting up the lights. It's those little aspects that I love. You know, it's those things that if you can bring to live action. And it, and you know, obviously it comes from you know, the cartoon and just silly ways of you know, animating certain things. I think that if you can pull that off in live action, it's those little things. You know, I think to the movie Hook, how they had, you know, all the Lost Boys had all their stuff rigged up and stuff like that. It's just unique. It's original. It has its own feel. And while I'll agree with Christian what he said about it being feeling congested, I do feel like this does kind of set up this world. It may feel slightly off at times, but I also feel like that adult humor that you talk about, I almost feel like there's almost, if this makes any sense, an adult's kind of uneasiness about it too. Almost like it kind of expects everyone watching to kind of be in on the joke. Like you said, you grew up with this. We all grew up with it. So if it does look like a Broadway play set, like, okay, you know what I mean? We're just going to go with that. That's the direction that we're taking. And there's something about that I just appreciate.
Yeah, and so be it. And I like the little nuances. I agree that they should have had maybe a little bit more conflict between them, because that's the stuff that works, as opposed to the loudness and the obnoxiousness of everybody in Whoville. I think little things like that, they should have brought up more. I think they should have established her like of the Grinch even more so. I mean, we know that she mentions his muscles and when he was young, and they're the retelling of the story, and you could tell that she was sort of getting flustered, and obviously there was an attraction there, but possibly could have worked with a little bit more of that angle for the reveal at the end. As we mentioned, it kind of just seemed like forced. But again, I guess maybe I'm expecting too much from this. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm just thinking that they really needed to do much more than they really Had to, right?
I know exactly what you mean. And also, too, you know, I think of when we were putting up the tree the other night, we watched Frosty and Rudolph. And I've always known that fucking all the other reindeer were a bunch of dicks, and so was Santa as well.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
But you
like
still,
skinny Santa.
Yeah, but like you grow up with these movies, and you don't feel like anybody does anything too horrible. Like, yeah, they're dicks. Completely. Like, why the fuck... why did you ridicule this guy until you
needed
him?
Santa included.
Santa's the worst. He should have been a leader.
Yeah, he should have been.
Eat, Santa. Eat.
No, actually, I love that the fact that you, yes, we watch every year we hang up our tree, we watch Frosty and Rudolph. And I wanted to bring this up earlier, but so this makes a great time.
Perfect.
Real life adaptation. So obviously... The Grinch is, you know, one of the most known cartoon Christmas films of all time, right? And it got turned into a real-life adaptation. Why do we not have a real-life adaptation of Frosty or Rudolph?
That's what I'm saying.
Jack Frost. I'm shocked about Rudolph, to be honest.
Right. Same.
Well, Jack Frost doesn't count. Like, it's not like this. It's not the specific story.
I mean, Prancer got his own damn movie.
Right.
Exactly. But not Rudolph.
Here's the thing. Much like they did with this movie, you could provide so much more context, you know, for like the anti-bullying movie that you want to make. That like, and that's the thing, like there's so many different angles and so much in the Rudolph story that you could expand on. That, yeah, I am shocked that they haven't done that yet.
I'm sorry, but if they can like CGI deer in The Ring 2... they could easily do a Rudolph movie.
The fuck it. Is that the one where the fucking horse falls off the boat too?
In The Ring 2?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I just remember the CGI deer.
I think it's a fucking horse. Something. Yeah.
A fucking horse.
What about, I don't mean to take it away from the movie even more so, but you're talking Rudolph. Do you guys remember Rudolph's Shiny New Year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
What was the 4th of July one?
No, we didn't get that in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they provide more story for all the reindeer, including Rudolph, in Tim Allen's Santa Claus series, even in those later sequels.
Is Rudolph in those?
Yeah.
Oh, I've only seen the Santa Claus. I haven't seen two or...
They are fantastic.
I haven't even seen the Christmas Chronicles.
No?
I was about to say Chronicles.
Chronic.
Like Chronic.
People love that Christmas Chronicles, and I did not.
It's okay. I'll be honest with you. I thought Kurt Russell should have really just fucking brought it. Like, just be ridiculous with it.
Now, Christian, okay, so we've obviously talked about a few Christmas movies now. What film were you hoping we were going to give you?
I guess I was holding out hope that it would be Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Lampoon's?
National Lampoon, sorry. Or it would have been, like, I would have been cool with Bad Santa, but Derek got that, right? I'm good with all of them. I Home Alone 1 and 2 would have been fine. Bad Santa 1 and 2. I've only watched 2 once, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is just a staple. Right. I mean, I don't know if you're going in the horror realm as well, but I would have taken Black Christmas, the original, or, of course, Krampus.
Yep.
Krampus has become the new tradition. Christmas Eve, my one daughter and my wife will watch It's a Beautiful Life, It's a Wonderful Life, excuse me.
So I think to myself, it's a beautiful life.
Have you ever seen, what was I thinking? The one, Roberto Benigni, The Life is Beautiful. That's what I was thinking.
We watched that in high school. Oh. Oh my God. Like, I've never ugly girl cried ever until I've seen that movie.
I was the same way, and I was a grown man.
It's like the boy in the striped pajamas, man.
Oh, holy shit. But yeah, sorry, but It's a Wonderful Life, which I love as well, but my wife and daughter will watch that, and the other three of us, we go watch Krampus.
Krampus is amazing.
So... any one of those. That's a lot of movies. Any one of those. But I was happy because I rewatched this, and overall, I enjoyed it a lot more. I love the opening, and I love the ending. And it's really just, it's about a half an hour or so, maybe 40 minutes in the middle that I'm fond of. So majority of the movie, 2/3 of the movie, I really enjoy.
Yeah, we had to like pause it for a moment, and I thought we were only like 10 minutes in, and it turned out to be like we were like 30 minutes in. I was like, wow, that went really quick.
Yeah.
And then you're right, it does kind of drag.
For the third part, though, for the last section, we got right when he was getting in the sled in the Santa suit. Like,
yeah, like that, we got our dinner ready.
But you're right, though, that part of the movie is, it's so much fun because, yes, it's obviously, you know, kind of tapping into nostalgia just because of the sheer fact of it's telling the same exact story that we know from the cartoon. But, man, they continue to kind of have fun with the characters that obviously they set up before. So, I don't know. I kind of, and I know in a lot of ways people can be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's kind of like Rob Zombie's Halloween remake in that, like, the second half is kind of like a remake of the first one, you know? And then all the backstory, all the, you know, getting bullied by fucking spy kids and all that happens in the first. And I don't know, I just, I had so much fun with this movie, and that last third was just a blast.
Yeah, and before we get into that last third, which we're about to, I just want to say two more things about when he's in town.
Do it.
Or three things, actually. He's in the chair of cheer.
Chair of cheer!
When, like, obviously he's been, like, not around, like, this entire time, but people are so excited because he's new, and, like, you know, so, like, they're embracing him, and they're giving him the fudge, they're giving him...
So much fudge.
Yeah.
He's like, come on! Like, that's what I love about Jim Carrey, though, like, his like, some of the scenes are so bizarre, it's just people shoving fudge, and he's just like, is that the best you got? Like, I live for that shit. Like, I'm just looking at it.
Do you just want people to shove fudge in your mouth?
No, that's fucking weird.
But think about it, imagine doing that with all that makeup on, not being able to breathe out of your mouth. That must have been brutal.
And, like, chopped out of teeth.
And, and being in on the joke is so much fun, knowing that it's Jim Carrey and how ridiculous it is. Like, okay, in the Chair of Cheers, they use a first-person camera POV. Like, it's stuck to the chair almost. And I'm just like, I'm thinking for a second. I'm like, that's kind of a fucking gangster move for that shot right there. I was like, Ron Howard is kind of a G. Like, he is. Like, he's... Everybody thinks of him as fucking...
Bryce Dallas Howard was in this film.
He might be Opie Cunningham, but he's a badass motherfucker. He made Solo.
Hey, Tuesday, happy day.
I love how you're calling him Opie.
It's Opie.
And every time he calls him Opie, I go into the Happy Days theme, which is not...
Well, it's Richie.
He's going further back, and I'm going, I just bring up, it's just nostalgia. It's.
Is that supposed to be the Andy Griffin thing?
That is. See, you know some shit.
Okay. And going back to while he's causing havoc on the town, chaos.
Yes.
Well, he's causing chaos on the town. When he lights up the tree, he literally says, burn, baby, burn. What were you thinking when he lit the tree on fucking fire?
I was thinking it was great for...
I know you don't like this section of the film, like when he starts to create the chaos, you gotta admit it's fun.
It's fun, and then they... Again... My problem, I wonder if Sam Raimi did this, if I'd like it better. Because I love Ron Howard, too. But Sam Raimi seems to be able to bring that live-action cartoon feel.
Do you feel like it was Reggie. RPG?
Well, like no. I don't think it needed to go. I think Sam Raimi's just the fluidness he's always had with his camera. And you brought up Evil Dead 2 earlier, saying it's your favorite of the series.
It is.
That and Army. I mean, I love the whole series, but. All three that he directed. I love all of them. He's got the cartoon nature, the live-action Crime Wave, his other movie. I think he would have been great directing this movie. I'm not saying Ron Howard did a lousy job. Ron Howard is a fantastic director in his own right and did a great job here, too, or good job here, too. But the Dutch angles and the craziness there and the editing, it just gets a little too much for me. Yeah, the tree going up in smoke and the chaos is cool, but it's just so frantic that I was just like, that's when I turned to my daughter and say, this is what I don't like about the movie. I figured it out on this watch, seeing it again with you guys now. It's this, it's just...
Oh, they watched it with you when you were watching it for this?
Yeah. I said, I got to watch it for the show. Who wants to watch it with me? And they're both like, oh, we will. And then the only thing they didn't watch was when I watched the last, because we had to stop it because of their schedules. And then I ended up watching the last 45 minutes because I wanted to make sure it was watched before we recorded, because otherwise I'm like, if I wait for them, who knows? So that was the only thing I watched by myself again. And my daughter came in at the end. She's like, yeah, she's like, this part's good. And I'm like, yeah, I'm loving it. And so I can't, it's needed. The middle part's needed. I'm dancing around it. The chaos is there. But for some reason, something just doesn't work for me. It's a little too off. I don't know why.
Well, that's one of
Sam Raimi could have done it.
One of my favorite parts of when he's creating the chaos is, you know, when the little yellow car comes and it like literally looks like a Polly Pocket car compared to the Grinch. And he sits on the car and like there are people in it like because they're trying to drive away from him.
Little guys. Yeah.
and they get out of the car as he's like getting ready to sit down on it. And he goes, you did the right thing. I think that might be one of my favorite lines of the movie because he was just like coming through and he's going to make them drive him, but instead they just get out instead. And because he's literally about to squash them and then he like looks over at them because you did the right thing. And there's another line where earlier in the film, somebody was like, Merry Christmas. And he looks at the person, he's like, is it though?
Like JP for a split second.
JP.
Yeah. Is it though? He's got the lines. I mean, he's the movie. It's unfortunate to hear that he was a bit difficult behind the scenes, but yeah. I guess who could blame? A, I don't live in his life. B, he had some problems at the time. And C, if I had to be in that makeup 95 times or whatever, however many times he had to get in it, I probably would have been fucking cranky too.
Well, Dan said as we were watching, he was like, I bet you Ron Howard and him just got along.
Yeah, I'll bet you they did. Just because they're very much professionals, but they're very much positive people as well. You know, if you ever see an interview with Ron Howard and Brian Grazer produced this too, and I'm a huge 24 fan as well. And everybody involved just going into this, I feel like had so much love for it. And whether you agree with all the decisions, I feel like the one thing that really comes through in certain parts in this movie is you see the love. You see the love of the project. You know what I mean? Like you can feel like they had fun. And like I said, they're professionals. They know what
they're trying to. They're trying to do something positive. Class. I mean, like that. I mean, you're right. They were. It was a big budget movie. Suppose again, I heard there was a lot of problems on the set with him that they would be waiting for him to film. By the time he got to the set, it was torn down a couple of times. So there was some.
Oh, wow.
There were some issues. But again, I can't validate that. It's all shit I read on the internet. So, like, just like anything, am I?
It's got to be true.
Conspiracy theorist? Who knows? But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're right, though. I mean, they were trying to have fun with this and deliver a good product. There wasn't like, you know, there was no like disdain for the audience or anything like that. They were trying to give you a fun holiday movie and. For the most part, they succeed.
Yep.
Yeah. And with that, let's get into the third act of this film.
Let's do it.
Actually, for a second, we talk about like, all right, so let's talk about from the year 2000 to now, right?
Year 2020.
I made my own lyrics up there.
That was one of my favorite Conan segments ever.
Well, I just upgraded it. No, so think about, like, when you first watched this film to now. Like, think of your age of when you first watched it to now, right?
Right.
Obviously, The Grinch is so much more relatable as an adult. I'm sure we've all seen the memes that relate to The Grinch. He was, like, when, he's trying to, Cindy Lou Who comes to him and, like, she's his biggest advocate.
Right.
And she wants him to come there for the award. And then, obviously, like, when he is going to steal Christmas. However, he's like literally the most relatable person. Like, he's trying to talk himself into going and out of going all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has, you know, he's like 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
You know, and
yes.
then he's like, I have nothing to wear. I'm not going.
I'm
like,
not going,
and
yeah.
So he steals the Yodler's clothing.
Great. Like, yanks him out of the screen.
Like, so he's just wearing, like, Yodler bibs. Like, I love it. But, I mean, he's so relatable, though.
Right.
Like, as, like, a normal person. Because, I mean, that's what we do. We're always trying to convince ourselves, like, when we make plans, like, right. how do we get out of it?
Right.
Like, oh, nope, I'm busy washing my hair. Like, right. I'm yeah. busy, like, doing absolutely fucking nothing.
Well, and I think that the moral of the story, I know it's probably not what they're going for, but what I take from it is even though people are fucking shitty, still be better than them. Like, that's how I kind of see it. You know what I mean? Because they all treated the Grinch like shit. For what?
What?
For what?
What do you mean they treat... Like, all they said was he had a beard and a hat.
They laughed at him. They shamed him publicly.
I laugh at you daily because of your bald head.
You know how they shame him, like, like those guys do on Exploding Heads? Like, that's what it is.
On Exploding
Heads. It's a shaming. Like, it's a shaming situation. I don't like that. It's a public shaming, and I feel like... That was more so a catalyst for his seclusion, more so than any bitch ever.
We all got
and that's how, I know, and that's how I feel. And that's how I feel. And I feel like all the people are assholes. And you talk about a catalyst and Cindy Lou, like, she was everything. You know?
She's the one that's driving the story.
She's
forward.
The one who does everything. I feel like...
Did you like her teeth in this?
No. All of the makeup and everything fucked with me. It was fucking weird. Like,
okay, it is a fucking weird adaptation.
Weird.
It really is.
You have to go with it and or get
because
stoned
no,
before you watch this.
And we did.
And we did. Like, and on that level, it's not only enjoyable, but I do feel like... It hits that nostalgic funny bone as well. Do I think it's perfect? Absolutely not. But do I think that it's one of my go-to Christmas movies? Fuck yeah. I don't know why I said it that high pitch. Fuck yeah. Fuck.
I wish you could have seen his face when he like went through that whole process there. All right, guys, when we get to the third act of this film,
sorry,
I have a
everybody.
Major problem. Like, I love it, I love it, I love it. However, I have major problems with it.
Go.
Like, plot-wise.
What do you got?
Okay. I have, like, no, like, seriously. Like, I didn't, all right, so, like, in the year 2000, when I'm watching this film, did I ever think that I was going to talk about this film, like, on a podcast? I didn't even, like, did podcasts even exist in 2000?
No, it was called radio shows.
Yeah, it was called the Horror Cast.
Well,
they've been around.
NFW.
Exactly. Yeah.
No.
She just said you're old. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I love newts.
Newts with goats.
No, but seriously, I never thought that like I would have to pick apart or think of things logically like
right.
while watching. But as a podcaster. Like, once you start podcasting and, like, try to think of things a different way that nobody's talked about before.
Totally.
You know, like, you have to do it. You want to try to break new ground and,
right.
you know, expand other people's minds to the way that you think. Or,
when
you know,
I watch
present
movies,
it.
Though,
yeah.
I do it in my head. Like, I justify certain things and say, okay, well, I like that or whatever. But there is something to vocalizing all of that because I feel like we all do kind of appreciate the same things, generally
yeah.
speaking, especially about, like, this movie. Like, we're all pretty much, like, on the same track in terms of what we like about it and what things are weird,
well,
like the makeup Rick Baker.
Well, if I wasn't podcasting on it, I probably wouldn't think twice.
That's what I'm saying. But I do like diving into... To, you know...
the obscurities.
I don't think that this movie is that bad. If we could be doing The Leprechaun.
What are you doing?
The Leprechaun's Christmas.
But he did. Like, it's
please,
coming back.
Please, come.
They're going to be like, we're going to make that
That's
movie
what she
just
said.
So they can podcast
you,
it.
I said, please
come now.
I was talking about The Leprechaun's Christmas.
Hold on, let me pause the steps.
You stop it.
I'll just go on mute. What problems do you have with the third act?
All right.
I
want to
know.
All right. So, before I get into my problems, we have to set up the scene, right?
What's your problem, baby?
You shut your whore mouth when you're talking to me.
All right.
So, all right, so he's getting ready to go because obviously he was embarrassed yet again.
Which was fucked up. They did it again to him.
No, but he...
Dicks.
Okay, he burned the town down, or he burned their Christmas tree, sat on some small people.
You did the right thing.
And and keyed the car that the taxpayers paid for. But aside from that, that's why he's so pissed off, is because the girl that he loved got proposed to.
I just put that together, though. He made the taxpayers pay for the car, and then they were mad when he scratched that. Why weren't they just mad at him for making him pay for the car? That's a good point you made earlier. Sorry.
You're welcome.
Okay, good.
See, egotistical.
I'm just, yeah.
Not egotistical at all.
No. You're magical.
No. So... we're setting up the scene to where he is getting back. Like he all right, so he's pissed because they embarrassed him because they gave him a razor and his girl that he had a crush on got proposed to.
Right.
This is why he burned the Christmas tree.
Burned it all down.
And
like
caused
Phil
chaos
says.
And did no longer want to conga line.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So fucking
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
I mean, this is what made him want to steal Christmas. And joy from everybody, okay?
Yeah.
So.
I get it.
So he decides he's going to steal Christmas and get back at these hoes.
These hoes.
The missile hoes.
The hoes. Yes.
And so he decides to take a red string and tie it around his dog to make his dog, like a
Rudolph,
but like a deer.
Classic. Gives him one.
Who's going to, like, lead the sleigh when all they're doing is, like, floating down a mountaintop.
Yep.
And, all right, so that's setting the scene. That's all I had for that. All
right, where does your beef come in?
Here comes my beef.
All right.
All right, so he's still in Christmas, right?
Yep.
But at the end of the film, I'm skipping ahead because it all makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so he's still in Christmas, and then he gives Christmas back, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, he can't give it all fucking back.
Why?
Well, for one, he takes moths out. That eat the stockings.
Right. Right.
Like, how are you going to give that back, Grinch? I know you have magical bad breath, but how are you going to give stockings that you fed to moths? Like, you literally have a jar of moths that
he
eat stockings.
He gives 87% back.
Baby.
And no, but that's not it.
This is
no.
So easily explainable.
This is where my beef comes in.
Regurgitating moths.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever had.
Exactly,
to
and that's what you get for diving into stupid questions like this.
This isn't a stupid question. It's a legit. All right, let's talk about the food. Like, okay, so like he has a vacuum suction that's like taking everything like out of the house, right?
I need one of those.
You never ever see like he's eating all of the food. If you don't remember. And he threw the roast beef that gets eaten at the end to the side. It never got suctioned in. So, how does he give this all back, is what I'm saying.
He's going to take a big shit out of the...
But do you see what I'm saying, though? Like,
absolutely.
Like, he ate all the food.
Absolutely. I'm surprised he didn't eat the fucking green eggs and ham.
Yeah, 1 out of 10.
I am saying. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, this is my problem comes in, though.
Okay.
Like, you can't give back Christmas that you actually, like...
Well, he
had he just like suctioned it all up,
right.
That would make sense, but that's not what happened in this film.
So
that's where my problem comes in with this film specifically.
Right. Well, whenever you see like a cartoon like shoving food into them,
this isn't a cartoon.
That's
a live adaptation, and that is the point. And yes, I'm pointing my pen at you.
She's got it right in my face. God damn.
And not to mention that, but he's
well, folks, you heard it here. It's a live adaptation.
But not. No, all right. He also steals sugar plum fairies from their dreams, or sugar plums from their dreams. He steals dreams.
That was kind of a dick move. I wouldn't do that personally.
Like, can he put those back as well?
Leave your sugar plum fairies to alone.
Christian, make sense of that
it's
for me.
Again, it's a live action adaptation, but it's supposed to be like a live action cartoon.
No,
so,
Christian, it doesn't make sense.
It's not a cartoon.
Make logistic sense of it, Christian.
A lot of this stuff is just the movie happening, and he gives 86.75% of Christmas back. And I think at the end of the day, remember, the moral of the story is they don't really care.
Right.
They didn't need anything back. Right. They didn't even need 1% of it back. They were happy anyway. He gave back what he had stolen that is replaceable again.
Correct.
So at the end of the day, I hear your complaints, but he returns what he's got, and they didn't need any of that because they were willing to sing and be happy and thankful because they're safe, COVID-free, and living the good life.
Right?
I don't think – yes, he stole it. That's he can't replace that stuff. That's gone for good. But remember, the Whovilles don't care. They're celebrating anyway. They're happy.
Assholes. Well, no, but the fact is that they didn't celebrate until Cindy Lou Who's dad came in, because once they realized everything is gone, the mayor's like, I told you not to invite the Grinch to town. I don't know why I'm talking about it that way.
I almost felt like too that
I felt like I was talking like Wile E. Coyote.
Cindy Lou's dad, I feel like, was miscast. I feel like that should have been William H. Macy.
Same. I thought for a second it might have been.
It wasn't. It was the knockoff version.
Or it could have even been Michael Douglas from Falling Down.
It was the...
I don't know why I got that vibe.
Wasn't it the dude from Untouchables or whatever?
It might have been. Yeah, I think it is. Yes. He's definitely in some stuff. But yeah, he ended up looking like Dana Carvey in that Turtle movie. Turtle. He kind of looks like that guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Turtle.
You know what I'm talking about? No, maybe not.
Dana Carvey. Master of the... Not Master of the...
Yes!
Master of the Disguise. Yes!
Absolutely. Didn't he look more so like him than anybody else? No. that character, though, I feel like when I say William H. Macy, I really do mean that. And I also feel that, I don't know, like, that character could have been better. That character could have been a lot more brought to life, I think, by somebody else. Like, I just wasn't feeling that dude for whatever reason. I think all of the Whos were kind of assholes, but for him in particular, I just never found him to do, I never found him to be, like, endearing in any sense, and it almost just kind of felt like he was just there.
Well, and he's the one that has to explain the fact that we should have been listening to Cindy Lou this entire time.
That's probably why, just for exposition.
Yeah.
Like that's his whole
purpose. I mean, Molly Shannon could have easily done the same thing.
Any cut could have, yeah.
Any cut could have cut to the chase.
That's what Dave called our show.
He said, cut to the chase. Well, actually, we called it that, and then he called it that. And
he had no prior knowledge of our cucking, but yeah.
You may cut all
We, little does everybody know, we cuck daily. That's not that's.
What? But
that's,
I'm sorry.
That's not true.
Cuck to the chase.
That's funny, right?
The 12 days of cuckmas.
Oh, should we change it?
The 12 days of cuck.
All right, get back on track. I got to release
this
these
is
episodes
a Christmas
this December.
Episode. Yes. All right. So, So he provides the moral of the story that it's not just about gifts, which obviously that's kind of what they were going through the whole thing. The mayor gives the car, he gives the diamonds, they're shopping in the beginning, he stole all the presents and all the food, and they're like, what are we going to do? And the mayor's like, fuck the Grinch! And they're like, no, it's not about the Grinch. Like, we're all still together, it doesn't matter. And, you know, you get the Grinch on the top of the mountain hill. And then, for me, though, I literally remember watching this as a kid, like the cartoon, and the part where, you know, the song comes in and it's just so heartfelt.
Right.
And I just feel it. Like,
yep.
I feel the spirit of Christmas when I watch that scene in the cartoon, the original.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel it. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but that's Christmas to me.
Without a doubt.
You know, and I can almost hear the music now.
Oh, Chris shot a card to the chase. Christmas right up to our waist. Oh, Christian, welcome back. Grab a hold of Santa's sack. Nice falsetto.
You're welcome.
That was awesome.
I was in the chorus in high school. You're welcome.
Okay. I don't get the same feelings. But, like, no, on a real note. Like,
No, one more time.
You sound like You want me to make you some sandwiches?
That's what I was going for, baby.
But no, do you get what I'm saying, though, like on a real note of the real song?
I don't know anymore.
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't have an exit strategy. I wish I did.
I feel like
I should have learned from the Leprechaun show.
Like, I feel like I'm crying so much, like as much as the Grinch sobs when he realizes his heart is growing.
Christmas right up to our waist.
Howdy now. Why, you sure smell nice and flowery.
Don't forget to bring a towel. I'm so sorry, Kristen.
Oh, it's okay. It's hilarious. That's not really the song I was thinking of, though, when she was telling the story.
No, I was trying to have a... I was trying to have a heartfelt moment.
The who for is the who for is Christmas Day. See, I'm doing it like the Grinch does. I don't know the lyrics either. That's the best part of that. When they're singing, and he's just like going, Christmas. And I love that, because that's exactly how I sing the fucking song.
Right. And that's a great scene when she nudges him, and then he starts singing. Like, that to me was fucking funny. Like, and there's certain moments in this movie that are fucking hilarious. You know, that moment, the dog, when the dog looks to the side. Like, it's just, it's subtle, but they are there for sure.
And it's literally no surprise that once he returns Christmas, I mean, I feel like they should have focused more in on him stealing Christmas, to be honest. You know, like, the first scene was at Cindy Lou Who's. Like, it should have showed, like, a few houses before her house, but like it felt like they were trying to cut to the chase.
Well, they could have extended it for sure. Yeah. But they had something bigger in mind, and what they didn't give us on that end, I feel like it was well.
You were
balanced.
Okay with it?
Yeah, I really was. At the end of the day, would it have been cool to see that? Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, listen, I'm at the point.
Listen.
Listen here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my name is Dad. On here. I'm going to get another beer.
I feel like this movie, though, what it does lack in or whatever, it definitely has Christmas spirit.
Literally the best song. That,
and more than...
I don't think there's any topping it, to be honest.
More than anything, though, this movie is fun. And while it is not perfect, I have come to a point in my life where I can see something, realize it's not perfect, but at the same time, completely maximize my enjoyment while watching something like this.
I have a question for you, Dan Chase.
Go.
All right. So, obviously, we watched the Benedict Cumberbatch version a couple years ago.
Unfortunately.
And then rewatching this one today.
Yes.
How does it stack up now?
Like I said, it's when we watched that one, that felt like a betrayal. On so many levels. It was almost like...
I also puked in the parking lot.
Yeah, but it's like, we're going to use this cartoon.
Is that bad? Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
oh, no, it was prior. It was prior. Yeah. Dan, he calls them nips.
Listen, dude. We're in Massachusetts, we don't fuck around. We binge drink. Like, we've been doing it since fucking high school. So when we're drinking before a fucking movie, yeah, we're taking nips. The little bottles. Some people don't refer to them as nips.
Well, I can't. Like, it has to be, like, in a wide shot glass for me to do a
little
shot.
Bottles of alcohol. And, like, just that's just normal to me. So, like, as we're getting to go into the movie, I'm like, all right, we're going to down some nips before. Like, I know that's not a normal thing to do, but growing up it was for me.
And so he got, like, four nips, and he was just like, all right, we're going to do two before we go into them. We don't have to pay as much for, you know, drinks when we go in.
Right.
Because we're going to see, you know, fucking the Grinch.
We still got a couple pitchers, but yeah.
Like, I can drink beer, no problem.
Listen,
but
we're going to see the Grinch.
He gives me this nasty-ass, we call them shooters where I'm from.
Right.
And what do you call the little bottles of alcohol?
The nips.
What do you call them, Christian?
I thought we called them, maybe we did call them shooters too. There is a name that is not coming to my head right now because I never get them because I think they're so small. Such
right.
A waste. What you have like an airplane.
Yeah, just like a little shooter.
Drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're drinking in parking lots on the go.
But they sell them by like the 20 pack in Massachusetts.
They do. Yeah, yeah.
And so Dan bought a few of them before we were going to see this movie.
You know what's funny? And they actually banned them in my town now because people were just leaving them all around town.
Really?
Yeah, they're banned now in Falmouth. You can still go to Andy's in the next town over and buy them, so it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, sorry. Continue. Sorry.
but no, he gave me one of these before we went and seen Benedict Cumberbatch and Pharrell's The Grinch.
Yes.
And I attempted to do it, and we had ate some pizza at the bar before, and it just didn't settle right. So I kind of ended up regurgitating in the parking lot before we went and seen The Grinch. Like, it wasn't like I was drunk or anything. It just did not settle right.
It's
like,
just the movie sucked so bad.
No, this was before we went and seen the movie.
Like, you could feel it, and like
then
a Jedi.
And then I pulled away so I didn't have to park next to my puke.
Right? Yes, that's right, we did.
That's a true story,
Paul. That is a true story. Yes, that parking lot is home to several stories, one including milk that we're not going to get into. Anyways.
All right, so the very end of The Grinch, you guys. my favorite line of the movie, actually, is, you know, after Jim Carrey, The Grinch, feels all powerful and whatnot, and he goes, and he's all happy. He goes, "The sun is bright and the power is bitchin'." Like, this movie says bitchin', you guys.
Take it easy there.
Like, now, like, you hear fucking on TV.
Right.
This is 2000. Bitchin' was a big deal to be in a kid's movie.
Right. Well, and I think...
I never even thought of it. It's so funny. I didn't even think twice about it.
No?
He said, "The powder is bitchin'." Because he was cruising down the mountain like a fucking snowboarder. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite lines of the movie. But that, like, I didn't think about, you know, nowadays you can say fucking.
Right. No, absolutely you can. Yeah.
The power is fucking.
How many fucks can you get away with a PG-13?
How many fucks can you fuck get to fucking fuck?
Two.
I'm not sure.
I think it's one or two. I think it's one or two. Yeah.
Now?
But no motherfucks. I think motherfuck is out.
Yeah, that's crossing the line.
Is that a true story?
Yeah. I think you're allowed one or two fucks and a shit.
No, what was the South Park episode?
Have you ever met my friend Cow's mom? She's the biggest bitch in the whole world. Well, she's the biggest bitch to the boys and girls.
Was it that he used the word bitch throughout the episode? Like, they did a count of a cuss word.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they cussed so many times throughout it. Like, it was a whole thing.
That show's classic.
All right, so...
I still like that movie. Oh, anyway. Yeah.
All right,
that movie's great, too.
So with their beady eyes and their flapping heads.
All right, so, Christian, I would like to ask you, from the year 2000, when you seen this film, what did you rate it then?
Oh, my God. I don't know what I would have... I would go by memory, but probably... Probably 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Like a C.
Okay.
Okay, like, and how about in 2020 when you just rewatched it?
I'll give it a B.
Oh, okay.
So that went up to like an 8?
Yeah, well, not quite. I'd say like a 7.
Okay.
A 7, a 7.5. I think that's exactly where... I'd feel comfortable with it. 7.5.
Okay, so it did go up. Is it because of our conversation or because of your rewatch?
Both. Well, I mean, the rewatch was great, as I said. Like, I still, the problems that I have, I realize where they were and what they were. Talking about it, you guys seem to like it, or at least understand the reasoning. I know, Dan, you did mention that you thought that it was a little messy in the middle too, or a little chaotic in the middle too, but you agreed with it. Lacey, yeah. you kind of said that you liked that part, and I mean, I get it. I know why it's there. I think I just like it when it's like, and again, for repetition's sake,
I just like chaos.
You just like chaos. Well, I just like it when it followed the original source material more.
Right.
Okay, call
me boring, but that's where I liked it.
All right, how about you in 2000 when it first came out? What did you rate it, Dan?
I didn't see it for a couple years. I heard things about it. I heard mixed reviews initially, and I was just in no rush to see it. Now, when I finally got around to it, I thought it was okay. To be perfectly honest with you, I think I might have, like, been watching it about maybe 60-65%. Like, I was in and out of it. I was like, whatever, whatever.
Grincher?
Yeah, but as the years go on, and I've seen it a couple times now, and I've actually watched it, I've picked up on, you know, Jim Carrey's performance more, all the nuances in his performance, and I don't know, like, I think over the years, following directors, you know, especially, I have, like, the utmost respect for Ron Howard. He's done so much in the industry, and I feel that he, I feel like he's done more beneficial things than detrimental, for sure. And I don't know, I just have a respect for everybody involved in this, that when I watch it now, I just kind of look at it from a slightly different perspective. Much like a Kevin Smith movie, you know, Yoga Hosers was fucking ridiculous. It was horrible, but, like, I love Kevin Smith, and I'll get behind anything that man ever does ever because, you know, like, he's a great dude. Much like these filmmakers, too. Like I said earlier, you can feel the love. So, yeah, I'll get behind anybody that has, like, a specific amount of passion for a project.
But what would you say you rated it when you first seen it?
First seen it, it was probably like a 3.5 even, out of 5. It wasn't...
Oh, you guys do it at a 5. I apologize.
Oh, no, you should be. You're off the show. You won't be back for the Easter extravaganza, Christian. Sorry.
Good night, everybody.
No, he even said in my birthday message, he was like, this is my plea to be on your 12 Days of Chase.
Yes, he said it.
Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed that this was the movie that we brought you on for?
Sorry.
No. Well, initially, I'm like, that, out of all the freaking Christmas movies, this is the one I get. Yeah. But, like, I'm so happy that I was able to revisit it because I don't think I would. It would have been on in the background, and I would have never really paid it much more attention than, right, you know, jumping in a couple of scenes here and there when you're doing other things or and the kids are watching it, and then you come in, you're like, oh, this is on a cool. Watch it five, 10 minutes, then go do something else, grab some coffee, whatever. Now, right, I watched it, and I was happy that I revisited it again. So I can't say I'm disappointed. I am happy that I went with my plea and that you listened and you invited me on.
Yeah, no, and thank you for actually, like, doing homework on this, like, because a lot of people just, like, kind of watch the movie and then,
right,
you know.
Well, now, Lacey Wu, what would you rate it back in 2000?
Back in 2000? This movie, when I seen it, it gave me the feels. It was a 5.
Mm.
Like, you know, it was very, the original is very nostalgic to me. Like I said, it gives me that feeling. And when I was in 2000, God, I was, what, 12?
Right.
You know, so it gave me this. It was a 5.
Okay.
At 12.
Now, this is important. Now, can we get to our 2020 ratings?
Yes. Let's go to you first.
Oh, okay. We're going with me. Okay. I honestly, this is a solid 4 out of 5. It's definitely far from a perfect film. I get so much fucking enjoyment out of watching it, you know, and I also feel like this as well. When you really break it down like we have done for podcasts and stuff like that, and you look at what's really out there in terms of, like, heavy hitters for Christmas. I'm talking about your Home Alones.
Yeah.
Your all of that stuff. You know, your Krampuses even nowadays. That's an instant classic. When you're talking about those type of movies and you really break it down, this really is a fun addition. You know, you have to kind of go into it seeing it for what it is, I think, to fully wrap your head around it and, like, appreciate it. But also, too, if somebody says, hey, I know nothing about it and this is just some wacky comedy or whatever and I'm going in blind and they can enjoy it on that level, too, sweet. All I'm saying is I love it for what it is. I love Jim Carrey. I love everything that he's basically ever fucking done. And to see him in this role, it took me a couple of years to see it, but once I did, I'm happy that I have. And over the years, like the Grinch's fucking heart, it's slowly grown, and it's grown 10 times as much as from when I first saw it in 2000.
So what's the rating?
So a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay, so it grew 0.5.
It grew. Fuck. Leave it to me to over-exaggerate. They said, well, it's only a half an inch. It only grew half an inch.
Yeah, kind
of
like
when we've been over exaggerating all of our lives, Dan. That's just the way we are. Yeah. I'm a girl with no concept of size.
Wow.
Okay. Like, all right. So, 12-year-old me really loved this film, and I thought, like, at that time it had the same, you know, feeling that the cartoon did. Because when they sing and they hold hands and they're doing,
Christian.
Well, we didn't have the Christian. But that song, like, when they do that, it really does make my heart grow 10 times bigger. It really does. Like, it's just a feeling because...
Corniest thing you ever fucking said.
Are you welcome. But I'm sorry, Martha May brings this movie down a 0.5 for me because she's such a fucking mistletoe.
Who? Martha Meeks?
No, Martha May.
Oh.
Like, she really does bring it down. Like, when she's in that, she brings it up, but she brings it down. So it's a 4.5. Like, no, I just really don't like the aspect that...
I love you.
Like, no, they don't even kiss. Like... No, it's not like a love story. Like, they don't even fucking kiss in the goddamn film. Maybe if they had kissed, but, right. Like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I never got vibes.
Yeah, no, there's not, like, a real love story going on there. So I just don't believe it in that aspect as a film.
Right.
And I'm looking at it as a film critic.
Totally.
And from that aspect, I have to knock it at least a 0.5.
Okay.
And, yeah, she is a mistletoe for a reason. She's into some kinky shit. She likes green men. And, yeah, no, so I'm literally knocking it 0.5 for Martha May alone, but I do like this film a lot. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not a 5. Like,
right.
My little 12-year-old blinders are off.
Yes.
And, yeah, so 4.5.
Awesome. Well, I had a great time not only reviewing it, but I was definitely looking forward to talking about it with you, and especially having Christian on, because we haven't had him on for a while. And dude, honestly,
he's literally one of my favorite guests. Seriously.
You are fucking
He was
every time.
To be honest with you, Christian, when we were talking about doing the 12 Days of Chasemas and talking about what guests we wanted on,
yep.
I was like, I want Christian.
That was the first
you were the first person that I wanted.
Thank
back.
You.
You're a go to.
No, you are. You're so quippy, and is that a word, quippy?
It is now.
I love it.
Like, you're so quick, and, like, you're so seasoned, you know, and that's not saying that you're old. No, no, but, like, you just are a natural podcaster, and I love flowing with you and your banter. I just really enjoy podcasting with you. I hope we do this again more.
Yeah.
I don't even want to stop you. I love hearing this about me.
No,
honestly, I never know what to say with that shit. I appreciate it, man. Like, I always feel I never articulate myself at all during these shows. And, at all, see? I can't even finish a sentence. But I so appreciate you guys having me on. It's fun. You guys are a blast to record with. I'm glad 2 times in 1 year during COVID, and we did it, and it's been fun. And I'm so happy to be here and that I was part of this as well. So thank you.
And dude, we will definitely have you on coming up soon on an
we
upcoming episode.
We hope we didn't
episode.
Scare you away.
Yeah, hopefully not. Now,
with Dan singing.
Now, what do you got coming up that's not this?
We're going to be recording our next episode of Exploding Heads. I don't even remember the number. I think it's 127.
God, you guys have been moving. I think the episode I was on was like 97 96, somewhere around there.
It took 4.5 years or four almost 4.5 years to get to episode 100.
Right.
And in
what was movie number 100? Or number one for the top 100.
Movie number one for the top
100. Was that Hereditary, if I remember correctly?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yep.
That
it
was.
It should have fucking been Cabin in the Woods, but all right.
I came in at about 11, but don't quote me on that. I'm going by memory.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was somewhere around there.
Should have been Leprechaun in Space.
We're recording that. Should have been Leprechaun in Space.
Leprechaun in Space would have been in the 90s.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't
it
even.
It could have been Leprechaun, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool. That, and if I ever do record, I kind of brought back my original podcast, and then we said we were going to do more, but we usually record it live, but with COVID, we haven't been able to, so we did one virtual, and I think we're going to have to do another virtual, and that's TGIF 13, and I think Scream 2 is going to be the next episode for that.
Oh!
Why are we not invited for that?
God damn. There's
the only reason you guys are not invited to that. Could I invite you to Scream 3 when we do that? The reason
No.
Reason why. This has been almost 2 years in the making. We were supposed to have... Or Scream 4. That's fine. We were supposed to... Preston DeFrancis, the director of Ruin Me. I don't know if you've seen that movie. I did an interview with the guy. He was a fan of the show. He reached out to me. I think the guy was super cool. We shot the shit. I did an episode, and I promised him that he would be on an episode of TGIF 13. 2 years later, it still hasn't happened, and it was supposed to be Scream 2. So I'm sticking to my promise, and that was supposed to be the next episode, and he's supposed to guest on it, and that's it. But we are open to guests, and I've got...
Let's go for Scream 4.
Can we do Scream 4?
Absolutely.
Yes! I don't want to do Scream 3, but hey... We're mentioning Scream 3. Did you at least get my fucking Martha Meeks reference earlier?
Martha Meeks? Yeah, it was like 5 minutes ago.
Did he get it? I don't know if he did.
No! You want to hear a funny story about that?
No.
I was fucking with a coworker, because I do chats online, right?
Yes.
I have to wear, and I just don't like this girl that I work with. So, like, sometimes, like, I'm bored at work when it's, like, dead, so I will create fake people to chat with.
Oh, my God.
And... the chat name I always use is Martha Meeks. True story.
That's such a Scream deep cut that, like, nobody would get it except us.
And she's like, well, what do you want? Well, I was like, I need to know Sydney's address.
Wow. That is atrocious.
I'm amazing. So much for joining us, Christian. And we hope to have you back really fucking soon. And we wish you and your family a merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you guys, too, and thank you, and I recorded a little love message while you guys were off. I don't know if that's going to come through or not.
Once
I realized it was still recorded, I did anyway. So thank you so much, and no question, Scream 4, you guys are on, because I think that's what we're doing. And I said, to spice it up, we want guests. Not that we're not sick of each other, but if we're going to do this virtually, and even when we're not virtual, guests. So for sure, you guys will be on.
And this has literally been my favorite Christmas episode so far. I mean, I love all of our guests, but I just feel like this just flowed so amazingly. And I don't even know if that's a word. But
everything.
To close us out, peace out, A-Town Down. But before, to close us out, here is Dan Chase with a song.
Your head's exploding, Mr. Looch. We're glad that you came back. Next time we'll get a movie you like with a popcorn and a Sprite, Mr. Looch.
We love you, Kristen. We'll see you next time. Everybody.
Thanks so much.
Love you too. Bye.
The smile on my face is hilarious.
And they'll sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this whole Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. But for 53 years I put up with it now. I must stop Christmas from coming.